been waiting all week for this, and here it is. The Illegal Curve Radio Show starts now. Here comes 2 hours of hard-hitting hockey talk, and here's your host, Drew the Bear Mindell.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us tonight at www.ustream.tv/IllegalCurve, good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. Joined on this beautiful Wednesday night from the lovely downtown Kick FM studios by my good friend sporting a Hawaii t-shirt, Richard Ratatatat Pollock.
I'm not sure if I like that nickname or not. I've gone back and forth on it.
Since last week, you've been wavering?
You guys liked it more than I did.
But you know, Rich, when you have a nickname, though, you know, in the beginning you might not like it, but eventually it just becomes your nickname. You like it more and more and more. So I think Ratatatat, you're going to eventually just, it'll become your nickname.
I don't know about that.
Ezra, what's your nickname?
Ezzy.
Ezzy. Ezra doesn't need a nickname. He's one name. He's like Madonna.
Like Cher.
Well, yeah. It's funny, though, Denise. I was having this argument with someone about nicknames. I don't think a nickname, like, if you just take someone's name, like, for instance, if your name is Robert and people call you Bobby, I don't think that's a nickname. I think a nickname has to be
a word
that isn't a play on your original name. So Ezzy, yeah, that's my nickname, I guess.
That wouldn't be a nickname by your description, then.
No, it wouldn't be. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Ezzy is just like almost my name. But I think a Ratatatat is actually a good nickname, and it's starting to grow.
Guys, what's Larry Charles doing in here?
Remus is wearing sunglasses in the studio, despite the fact he's sitting in the shade at the moment. So we're not quite sure what's going on with him. But he's manning the R desk tonight. So for everybody who's joining us on Ustream, who wants to get in on the chat, you know, or if you're listening on your radio and you want to get in on the chat, go to www.ustream.tv/IllegalCurve and you can chat with us live in studio. The other voice you heard from, of course, doesn't need any introduction. That is Ezra Ginsberg. He is, he's made it back from the wilds of his camping trip, which to me I'm surprised about. And expect that we'll hear more about the camping trip throughout the show tonight. That and Richard's dog party shenanigans from the weekend. lots to talk about in the hockey world. We're going to start tonight in Chicago, really where, you know, the Blackhawks, I think, made their final move as it relates to the salary cap in this offseason this past weekend when they walked away from the arbitration award that was given to Antti Niemi.
So I didn't think it was unreasonable, by the way.
He got 1 year and $2.75 million, and they walked away from that. They said, all the best to you, Antti, and they went and they signed Marty Turco for a 1 year, $1.5 million contract. Pardon me, $1.3 million contract.
Yep.
So a cap saving of $1.45 for this year. Mm-hmm. Question really boils down to, does Marty Turco, we know he had it, to be a top flight NHL goaltender. Does he still have it?
I think he still has it, and after thinking about this deal now for whatever, 48 hours, the news came early Monday, I guess. I actually don't think that the Hawks are going to be that bad in goal. It looks like they're going to try to get Cristobal Huey out of there and get his contract somehow off of the books, so to speak. I think they still
they're going to send him. They said they're going to send him to the minors. The Blackhawks goaltending tandem this year is going to be Marty Turco and Corey Crawford.
Corey Crawford.
Yeah. I think that Turco still has it. I don't think that he's as dominant as he was, but I think on that team, and you know, with the all-star defense that they have, Rich, I think no one is better than Marty Turco for that job. I mean, if you have a veteran
in terms of the scrap heap, yeah, you're right about that.
Right,
that's
and
fair.
He's still. It's not like he on Dallas. He was, you know, letting in 7 goals a game. He just had a bad year on a bad team.
He's had a bad couple years on
now,
Dallas.
Well, but last year he wasn't that bad. 2 years ago he was horrible, and 3 years ago he wasn't great either. So two of the past 3 years, he's been a very poor goaltender. Now, of course, if you're looking at his last 3 years and you go, okay, if out of any of the years, which one should be the best? I mean, which one would we hope would be the best? You'd be the most recent one, which it was. So
that's, I mean, they can look.
I see the rationale, guys. Clearly, they didn't think Niemi was the answer. They don't think Niemi is going to be that much better. And they think, okay, you know, we're going to save money here. We're going to get probably the same goaltending. Now, last year, for example, guys, I mean, last year, you want to compare the stats. They're really not that far off. Marty Turco last year. It's actually interesting, though, before we get to comparing the stats, because last year Turco had his best year in 3 years. But that was playing for Mark Crawford, a coach synonymous with an offensive system.
Yeah.
More of a rapid, rapid fire, funny enough, kind of system.
Getting ahead of yourself. That's not till late 4 tonight.
As opposed to Dave Tippett, who was the coach the 2 years prior, and is a very defensive coach, as you can see, relied a lot on Ilya Brizgalov this year. So that was interesting to me, is that if you can't succeed in the Tippett system, I thought it was probably an ominous sign. But then last year he had a little bit of a renaissance. Now granted, he only played 53 games last year, guys, whereas the year before he played 74, and the year before that he played 62. So maybe Turco in a lesser role is actually a better goaltender. Maybe that's one of the reasons why he played better than he did the years prior. But comparing Turco to Niemi is what I want to get to. And right. Last year's number, because Niemi's only first year in the league last year.
Yeah.
Right? Listen, Niemi, how many games did he play? He played, I think it was 37 games last year?
Regular season games.
Right.
Yeah.
So 39 regular season games, guys. He's played 42 career games in the National Hockey League. So, I mean, that's clearly not a big enough sample size to say this guy's great, this guy's bad. You can't really tell. So comparing his stats last year, he had 26 wins, right? And he had 7 losses. Well, you put Turco or anybody on that team, they're going to have a good win-loss ratio. Turco had 22 wins and 20 losses. Okay, these numbers really aren't relevant. Save percentage, though. Turco's save percentage was .913.
The save percentage is really the stat I think you have to look at right. Way more than wins and losses.
That's right.
That's emblematic. I mean, how many shots are you saving?
Right.
It shows you really, I think, what you need to know.
Well, Roberto Luongo's save percentage was .930, and his win-loss, I think his win percentage was about .450 when he was in Florida. I mean, he always had a losing
record. You know who's going to be a good goalie based on how many pucks they're saving.
Blackhawks, so Niemi's save percentage was .912. Turco's was .913 last year, guys. Turco's actually better at even strength. Another good sign. If you're going by that, one-year deal here.
I think
Turco, the argument might as well be made right now, guys, that Turco is probably the better goaltender, better goaltending bet. Now, I have my doubts about Turco. I think one of the things about him that is going to be a big asset is his puck-moving skills. And I say that because puck-moving skills are obviously an important asset for any goaltender, but a team like Chicago, which has very good defensemen who move the puck, you can get that transition game going really quickly.
Marty, the anti-trapezoid Turco?
Yeah, that's going to help a lot. But, he needs to be able to stop, make the key saves. And I realize, a save in the first period, the third period, there is certainly a difference there. And he needs to be able to make at least be a reliable netminder. He doesn't need to be spectacular. He needs to be reliable. And that's the thing about Niemi, for the most part. Aside from the Dumont goal in game one of the playoffs, Niemi didn't let in too many bad goals. Turco has a propensity to let in some bad ones.
Yeah, I think he's going... I think we all know that Marty Turco was... he's not at the elite level that he was at 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
We would all agree with that. But I think he's also going to the perfect situation for him. This is a goalie probably on the last couple years of his career.
He's older. He started off, you have to realize, guys, that he was a late bloomer.
Yeah.
And he
played behind Belfour.
Right.
So, he's been around for a while. But, for a guy who's entering the last few years of his career, playing, a guy who's definitely on the downside of his career skill-wise, he's playing behind such a talented defense
right.
that I think his shortcomings will be hid, by that defense.
Somewhat.
Somewhat, of course. I mean, he's not going to be called upon to steal game after game after game.
Right.
But he's going to be able, like you said, he needs to make the key saves. And I think he will make it because I think he's got, just walking into that dressing room as a goaltender, I think gives you an extra 10% of confidence or something.
3 years ago for Dallas, they went to the conference finals, and he wasn't very good for the most part that season. 2 years ago, they were supposed to be a Stanley Cup finalist or close to it, and he was awful. So... with expectations, maybe he comes...
You're right. But the defense, he never played behind the defense this good. He never had a defense this good in front of him.
100%, I agree.
Like maybe a little bit earlier on in his career, yeah, but their defense, Dallas is...
The one thing that Chicago hasn't overhauled, I said this on the Great Canadian Talk Show earlier this afternoon, the one thing that Chicago has not really changed on their team, for the most part, is their defense.
Their top four, yeah.
Their defense, and that's still one of the best defenses in the league.
Well, in a few...
One through four, it's the best defense in the league.
In several of the articles, we were trying to get a Chicago writer on,
yeah.
But in several of the articles, especially... coming from the Chicago writers who obviously know the team more intimately, this decision. I mean, let's be honest. This is unfortunate for Antti Niemi. He's 26 years old after playing in mm-hmm. basically the Finnish leagues. He wins the Stanley Cup in his rookie year, and because of the salary cap issues that the team has, they just couldn't afford that extra $1.3 million.
Yeah.
But what I was getting at in reference to some of the articles that were written about this trade on Monday and Tuesday is that Stan Bowman. Obviously was valuing defense first and foremost. And the article, the example that Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune gave was that they matched Jarmelson's offer of 4 years, $14 million, from the Sharks offered Jarmelson.
Yeah.
When they probably could have used that money, knowing that Antti Niemi was going to get a 2.75. You know, close to $3 million arbitration ruling.
Absolutely.
So they knew that they could get another goalie and that they wouldn't be, you know, decimated by, you know, not having Niemi there. And I think as far as Marty Turco goes and, you know, his ability to kind of step into that team and not, you know...
He's a veteran, 34 years old.
I mean, he's good enough that he'll probably play the same amount of games, and Corey Crawford's the type of goalie that will finally get a little bit more room because he was the fourth goalie there. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think they're better off with Turco, but I think, if anything,
here's a question I have, though.
It's hard to compare Niemi and Turco because Niemi was not relied on as much because the team was ridiculously good last year.
Yeah.
So this team is good, but it's not the best team in the Western Conference anymore. So Turco's got to make them better as opposed to just not being a problem.
But their defense is still the same defense as last year.
That's great, Drew, but they're
I know, they've lost their forwards.
I know that. They've lost their fifth defenseman.
They might lose another one, too.
No, I think they're done. They're under the salary cap now.
Yeah, finally.
Once they drop Huey, they're good.
Well, Drew, you know what happens when you got injuries?
Of course. You have to go to your depth. And I mean, I understand that, and their depth was their asset last year, and it's no longer there, but that's just the nature of the game and the salary cap.
Vancouver got better. Detroit got better. San Jose didn't get worse. Chicago did get worse. Those three teams, as far as I'm concerned, are just as good.
See, I think that the only team that they're... I think that it's probably Vancouver. In my mind, it's Vancouver, Chicago, 1-2 in the Western Conference, though. I don't think Detroit and San Jose have done
that. I was talking all about Vancouver being number one, and you were bashing me the other day.
I was not bashing you at all.
You were like, oh, I'm not so sure.
I don't think that's... we'll have to play back the tape, but I do not believe that to be accurate. Let's still talk about Antti Niemi for a couple minutes. Okay. We got a minute and 30 before the break. Okay. You know, this is a guy who he won a cup in his first year as a goaltender.
Yeah.
You know, he had the propensity to occasionally look like a rookie last year, but I think he's got a lot of upside.
Yeah.
Where's he going to land in this really a dearth of a goaltending market in there in the NHL, or is he going to have to go to Europe for a year?
I actually find it interesting, Drew, that Turco turned down a 3-year deal from the Flyers. Did you hear that?
I didn't, but I mean, I heard him say in an interview that this is where he wanted to land all along.
The Flyers have a better chance to make the finals next year than Chicago, as far as I'm concerned, and he was offered a 3-year deal. What was the deal there?
Well, with his old buddy Chris Pronger.
Maybe he didn't want to go to the city where goaltenders go to die.
That was an odd decision. But back to that point, where will Niemi end up?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question, Drew. I mean, it depends on how much he'll sign for.
By the way, Drew, were you talking about John Van Beesbrick or Sean Burke?
Everybody. Every goaltender who ever played in the NHL.
If he doesn't want to take a pay cut, he might not go anywhere. He might have to go to Europe. If he wants to take a bit of a pay cut, I'm sure there's teams, like a Philly maybe, would make some room, and they have room with a Gagne. They have a little bit of wiggle room that they can... you know, buy somebody out or trade somebody, or San Jose maybe want to put him, the Finnish netminder, with another Finnish netminder in Ninamaki, something like that.
But is he looking at going back to being a backup?
Well, he's going to be splitting time, probably, yeah.
I mean, I just find that remarkable for a guy. I mean, he's going to have some growing pains.
But you know what, Drew, Chris Osgood.
Yeah, of course, he went from...
Winning the cup? Yeah, to being a backup the next season.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not unprecedented. But I'm just saying, for you know, young goaltenders are awfully hard to come by sometimes. And this is an instance where the guy won a cup last year, took a team, didn't carry a team, but he won a cup, and then he's going to end up going back to the minors, or not the minors, sorry, but a second string or a splitting time sort of situation. Let's leave it there. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the Red Wings signing of Mike Modano and the Buffalo Sabres walking away from Tim Kennedy. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 Kick FM.
Haha, I did it!
What?
I connected my Proton accelerator to my hard drive, and now I can update my Facebook status without viewing all of the annoying ads. I'm a genius!
Or you could just join Winnipeggers.ca, Winnipeg's own social media website, and update your Facebook status right from your Winnipeggers account.
Oh.
That's right, Winnipeg. Go to Winnipeggers.ca and create your profile by logging in with your Facebook account. It's that easy. Plus, enjoy games, contests, and more. Yes, Winnipeg, this is your ultimate homepage.
Because Winnipeg, it's all about you.
If you met a person with cystic fibrosis, you might not know they had this fatal, inherited disease. Because it's what happens on the inside that makes CF so devastating. Cystic fibrosis clogs the lungs with thick mucus, making every breath a struggle. It's how people with cystic fibrosis live and how they die. Now that you know the inside story, please do what you can
Visit cysticfibrosis.ca to find out how you can help breathe life into the future.
Red River College puts its student safety first. To follow up on its Safe Walk program, RRC is launching a text message program called Campus Alerting System.
Hey, I just got a text. There's a situation at Red River College.
Don't miss out on instant alerts on campus closure, lockdown, or other related emergencies. Sign up for the Campus Alerting System and feel at ease knowing RRC wants you to be safe.
Where can I sign up for the college's campus alerting system?
To sign up, go to rrc.mb.ca. Achieve the future you want safely through Red River College.
On August 14th at the Red River Exhibition Grounds, the Rampage begins. Red River Rampage. An all-ages show featuring Comeback Kid, Phil Scarlet, Cancer Bats, A Willem Scream, Dreadnought, SNFU, High Five Drive, and more. Tickets start at just $25 and are available at Rural Sports, King Sports, Kildare Place West 49, and Wild Planet. Or online at redriverrampage.ca. Red River Rampage, where Winnipeg's party lives.
Instead of spending billions on the war,
Ezzy, you requested this song, so, you know, what is it?
I don't know. What song is this, Denise?
If I Were President.
Okay, this is old school Wyclef. I needed to hear a little Wyclef. Can we just play Wyclef over and over again tonight? He's running for president of Haiti.
The new president of Haiti. Actually,
I hope he wins.
He's running for president of Haiti. I imagine he's going to win.
He pretty much already is the president of Haiti.
I'm fairly certain he's not, but that's...
figuratively speaking.
He's going to be better than Papa Doc and Baby Doc, if anybody knows their Haitian...
I stick to Doc parties, Drew.
Okay, I know you said... good pun. Anyways, Papa Doc and Baby Doc were ruthless tyrants, so it's likely that Wyclef is going to be better.
So you'd be Papa Doc?
I'm not a ruthless tyrant. That's Beaner is the ruthless tyrant. As you can discuss
it's pretty early for a Beaner rap. You can discuss that on
your camping trip segment later on tonight. Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. Pleased that you're joining us tonight on 92.9 Kick FM and, of course, on Ustream at www.ustream.tv/IllegalCurve. If you want to get in touch with us in studio, 780-KICK, 780-5425. Send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. Let's move to Detroit, where Mike Modano, as expected, signed a one-year contract with the Red Wings. I believe it's a one-year contract...
One year deal.
1.25 with incentives that could push it up to about $2 million.
Yeah.
Does Modano have anything left?
How can Modano only make $2 million? I thought like someone of his stature, high scoring U.S. player of all time, he'd have to. There's like a minimum. Wasn't there like a clause in the CBA if you're that good, you should get like a minimum of $5 million? No, but I think it's awesome that Modano's signed with Detroit. I think it's going to look cool to see. You know, Modano in a Detroit jersey. It's also going to be a little bit weird. When I first heard of this, we were talking about, you know, this rumor, 5-6 weeks ago, really, right after the season ended, because it looked like he wasn't going to continue his career in Dallas. Excuse me.
And let me ask you a question quickly. I'm going to cut you off here because I find this interesting. What do Tom Wandell, Yuri Lehtinen, and Brandon Siegel all have in common last year?
Can I guess?
I have no idea who the first guy was, by the way.
Yeah.
I believe that they have more ice time than Mike Modano last year.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Pretty good, Drew.
Thank you.
One for one.
It's not that we discussed this off air or anything.
Can you believe that?
No. I can't believe that Mike Modano... Look, he should have retired 2 years ago when he got that classy send-off.
No, that was last year.
Wasn't that 2 years ago?
No, last year. The Wild jersey and the North Star jersey.
Oh, okay. Was that last year? You should have retired last year then. Sorry, I'm getting my years confused.
You guys, you have Graham on the line.
Right, okay, thanks, Denise. Graham, welcome to the program. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
What's
on your mind?
Modano.
Yeah.
I'm a Detroit fan, and I don't like...
Why not? You don't like it. Tell us why.
I don't want an old, washed-up man on my team.
You already have Todd Bertuzzi.
And I've already got Chris Osgood, but still, why do they keep going? Is this a New York team? Like, the sink for old great players go to die?
Think about this team up the middle, though, right now, Graham. You're talking about Zetterberg, Datsyuk, as long as those guys are playing center, Modano and Helm. I mean, is there another team in the league that's as strong up the middle?
Probably not.
And, like, you can't – I mean, Modano's better than if you're going to move Advocator to the middle, or if you're going to – you know, if depends on who else. Sometimes they move a lot of these wingers to the middle, but with Draper logging minutes, I mean, Draper can't play more than 5 minutes a game and take faceoffs, so you needed that player.
Sure, but, I mean, okay, aside from the fact that I don't like him on my team.
is that a Dallas bias?
Yes. Yeah. He played his entire career as a star, did he not?
Yeah, no, it's odd.
So why would you? I mean, this is a rare, really rare thing in the NHL these days. So, like, I just assumed that he would retire as a star.
And I did too. I absolutely did too. Especially the send up.
The same thing with Iginla. I don't expect Iginla to go anywhere.
You know what? The thing is, I flip back and forth on it. You know, I say on one hand, you know, it's sad to see these guys hanging on, you know, for the last, you know, paycheck. I don't even think it's about paycheck. It's because they don't know how to do anything else. And at the same time, I think to myself, you know, why should they retire?
Yeah.
You know, if you can get paid to do what you love,
sure.
Play hockey, and that's all you know how to do. The guy's been doing it since he was 15 years old.
Yep.
You know, who am I, or why should we sit around and criticize him? Somebody wants to give him a $2 million paycheck.
Totally.
If when I'm on the downside of my radio career, if somebody wants to give me $2 million to do this, I'll still do it.
And
sure.
Discussing the fact that he's an older player, and he's 40 years old, but the whole team is a very old team. I mean, you're talking about a team that's has a bunch of guys who are at least 30, if not older, and I'm going to pull up right now the average age of the Detroit. I bet you they're probably number one or 30, depending on age. And yeah, their average age is 31.7, and they're the oldest team in the National Hockey League. So what, you get a little older than what, you know, for 1 year, what does it really matter?
Well, that's
no,
talking about the Red Wings. I mean, you know, Richie, we talked about it last segment. You said that you thought they improved this offseason.
Absolutely.
I don't see it.
They're healthy. They got Hudler back, and now they have Modano.
What did you see in Modano's play last year?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what do you still think Modano's an NHL caliber player?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. I think
or should he go the way of Mike Keane and Kostelios and continue to play his career out in the AHL?
The guy hardly played any time. I mean, last year, Modano, I just went over that. Modano, in terms of ice time, and I'm sorry, that question I had for you before was even strength ice time, but the guy played 13 minutes a game, right? Sorry, 14 minutes a game, still played some time in the power play, wasn't great on the power play, wasn't terrible, was pretty solid at even strength, especially if he's going to be a third liner. So, and basically that's what he was last year, too. Like, to me, he's a very productive third line center, and you guys know this. Modano was always and is a very responsible defensive player. So, if
that's
he's responsible
true.
Defensively, can add in some offense, well, I don't see the downside.
So maybe, okay, well then, if you look at it that way, maybe it's not a surprise that Detroit looked at him as they have a bunch of guys who are strong both ways, and that's actually one of the things that keep him in a lot of games.
That's exactly right. That up that middle, that those four we just mentioned, all are good both ways.
And Graham, yeah. The thing, I can understand your pain because, I mean, I'm a Devils fan, and Brian Rolston is doing nothing on the Devils, and he's 4 years younger, but I think you're definitely, you know, justified in worrying about Modano, but I think, you know, if it turns out that he plays close to a full season and basically fulfills a leadership void, I mean, if he fulfills his leadership role, which it's a big decision for Detroit, signing Modano, it's not like they thought about, you know, he's not as good as he used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys think about it. They know he's not a 90-point player anymore. He's barely a 50-point player anymore.
Yeah.
But I think if he's – I didn't mean to say that Red Wings have a leadership void.
Right,
they've got leadership.
Yeah, but you know,
if he gives you that, then
– I understand what you're saying, though, Ezzy, because, yeah. I mean, there's no – it's a – I mean, look, I don't love the signing, but it's a minimal risk. It's a million or a little over $1 million.
That's true.
He's not going to be a bad dressing room presence. You know, he will perform in whatever. I mean, Mike Babcock's smart enough to put him in a position where he's going
to
succeed.
So,
I mean,
right.
I'm not crazy about it. I think that they should have done more this offseason. I mean, I appreciate what Richard's saying about getting healthy and getting Hudler back.
Like, do you think they should have released a DVD, Drew? Like, what do you want? what more?
Very
they
much
have a great team. Detroit is a great team.
Detroit, going to last season, Detroit got worse. Chicago basically stayed the same. Well, they added Hossa, and they obviously got better. This time, Chicago got worse. Detroit stayed the same, added Modano, got Hudler back. And so Detroit's has improved. San Jose hasn't done anything except for the goaltending switch. You could argue that's, you know, positive or negative. Chicago's gotten worse, and Vancouver's gotten better. So aside from, to me, Vancouver and Detroit are the two most improved teams in the Western Conference in terms of, like, the top seeds getting better.
That's a fair point. Graham, appreciate the call. We're going to have to move on.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Graham.
And Graham, you have nothing to worry about either, because as long as Detroit's healthy, you're good.
780-KICK, 780-5425 if you want to be like Graham and get in on the conversation. Of course, you can join us in the chat room where we're chatting tonight with Jungle Fat right now. Ustream.tv/IllegalCurve. Jungle Fat, I believe, joining us from Nashville, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice.
Let's move on to Tim Kennedy. Very bizarre situation here in from what I can see. Yeah. You know, Buffalo, he gets a reasonable...
Buffalo native, right?
Buffalo native. Yeah. I'm Buffalo.
It's interesting because, like, Buffalo native is, like, obviously Patrick Kane,
college,
Buffalo native.
College player.
Yeah, Tim Kennedy, I watched him play college. He's got good hands. He's a good solid player. He's nothing crazy. But
this is
before we start, the Buffalo native in Buffalo is a rare because they're not producing tons of hockey players, and he's actually on the Sabres. So, especially odd considering that to continue with
this. This will be his second year in the NHL, I believe. He's coming off...
No.
Was a rookie last year.
You're right.
He was a rookie.
Yeah, you're right.
But he was obviously a late bloomer and everything else. I mean, he was awarded a one-year, $1 million contract by arbitration.
Explain the situation, though,
if you are awarded a contract that's less than, I think, something like $1.17 million in arbitration, the team cannot just walk away from the arbitration ruling. Right. So what we have here is a situation where Buffalo has to accept the ruling, and then they've gone and waived him. So you would think a player in his stature is not going to clear waivers. In fact, by all accounts, he's not going to clear waivers. So some team is going to claim him and take on his salary.
As they should.
If by some reason he gets through waivers, Buffalo's on the hook for one-third of his million-dollar contract.
Right.
Let's talk about Buffalo's rationale for doing it. And B, let's talk about where he could potentially end up. As Colgan reported in the chat room also, that according to Kennedy's agent, five teams have already expressed an interest.
Yeah, of course,
in him.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, he's 24 years old. I saw him play. He played in the CCHA. I saw him play against WCHA team when he was in college. He was Michigan State's best player the night I saw them play. Good hands. Not huge, obviously. He lacks a little bit of size. He's not going to be a tough player, but he's got a skill element there, guys. I mean, because he's under 6 feet, and he doesn't hit that much, it doesn't mean that he doesn't add a lot to the table. He can shoot. He's more of a passer, but he's got good hands. And you got skill. Skill guys don't grow on trees. 24-year-old skill guys who are available for nothing certainly don't grow on trees. To me, the question for me is this. If they buy him out and they're paying $330,000 or whatever it may be, can they sign a player for $650,000 who is going to be as good as Kennedy? Because you're still spending $1 million right there against the cap. I don't think they can.
For a very shrewd, smart team that relies on their young players.
They were mad he took him to arbitration because they offered him $850,000.
Yeah.
And they went through the whole process, and they've obviously been developing him, and he got one.
He got $1 million.
Yeah.
It just seems like a very rash move by Darcy Regier. And Darcy Regier, I have a lot of credit for.
One of
the best general managers. The reason he's been around here forever and ever. It seems like he got a little peeved and he walked away and didn't really let cooler minds prevail.
A point of game. Last season was Kennedy's first full season in the National Hockey League. I mean, he played one game before the year before. In the AHL in 2008-2009, guys, almost a point of game. And again, point of game players in the AHL.
What was Regier peeved about?
Well, because
the money doesn't seem like
yeah the
not
offer
the money
was,
that
the offer
that
was,
the
was
player
clear,
took him
and
to
it was
arbitration.
A waste of money. It was a waste of time and effort to go to arbitration.
What do you guys think of Buffalo's off season so far? I mean, we got Colgan in the chat room said that they overpaid for Shane Morrison $2 million a year.
Yeah, you're not gonna find. I just wrote about Sean Morrison.
Sean Morrison.
I wrote about Sean Morrison
for
the Puck Perspectives book.
Yep.
That final copy is in now and for Washington.
Available in all your finer bookstores everywhere.
In
when's it gonna be out?
September. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Published author Richard Pollock.
Not yet. The book's not out yet.
Soon.
I might still get cut.
Yeah.
A guy who will add like a physical element, but he's. I mean, Sean Morrison to me is no more than a fifth or sixth defenseman, and 2.075 per year to me is an odd decision. Rob Niedermeyer, I can be honest with you guys. Again, a lot of respect for Rob Niedermeyer. I think speaking about somebody who is
should have retired with his brother.
I don't think should have retired.
Did Rob Niedermeyer sign?
Yeah, he signed with the Buffalo too for 1.1.
Okay.
I mean, he's 35, but he plays like he's a little bit more. I don't really see the benefit to the team in either move. Niedermeyer to me doesn't really bring much to the table, and Sean Morrison to me is fairly replaceable. Jordan Leopold signed for $3 million. I mean, Jordan Leopold.
Jordan
if he plays
Leopold,
a full season.
He gets traded every trade deadline.
Plays a full season, Drew. He could be worth $3 million. It's a big if, and it's a big could. So to me, it hasn't been Regier's finest offseason. I think the team hasn't gotten any better at all. To me, this team has not improved, and The only issue there is, you know, if this team, talent-wise, if they're able to put it together there with Ryan Miller and Nett with a pretty solid, really, really solid young forward group, they still have a very good chance.
But you talk about young forward groups. Isn't Kennedy the perfect young forward that they would want on their team? He's young, he's cheap, he's controllable. He's $1 million.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, Colligan says that Regier blamed the Kennedy buyout on exceeding their internal budget. But, I mean, you're telling me they couldn't find an extra $150,000 for him?
The point is, then don't give the extra $150,000 to Niedermeyer and sign him for one, because I'm pretty sure he wasn't getting many more offers than $1 million.
I mean, that's very true. Let's talk about landing spots for Kennedy. Obviously, he's a young guy. He's not going to be a UFA for another, you know, however many years. So, you know, he's an asset to a lot of teams. Apparently five teams.
Well, Pittsburgh for sure showing interest because they need help up front. I'm sure Toronto is showing interest because they want talent. I'm sure Ottawa because they could use some help up front. I mean, those are just teams in the Eastern Conference. I can't see a team, to be honest with you, Drew. I can't see many teams not showing an interest in him.
I mean, in the
offseason... Unless you're totally maxed out on the cap.
I mean, I'm not sure what the waiver wire process is at this point in the season or how it
works. I'm sure it goes through last or first from 30 to 1
from
last
year. Once you make a claim on somebody, you drop to the bottom of the list again, right?
I don't think that's the case.
You think that
they're just the worst team always has the first crack.
Really?
Yeah.
No matter even if they just signed a guy the day before?
I think so, yeah.
So when we're talking...
Well, then why shouldn't the 30th... I mean, who's... You know, why doesn't Toronto get this guy? Why doesn't Edmonton get this guy?
They might both.
These are all... He's a young asset who can... Yeah. You know he can score. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm not sure what would be the problem. What is your risk here? He's under...
There's no risk. That's just it. He might not score, but what's the risk?
I mean, if he has a terrible year and if he flatlines, so it's $1 million. You're not going to be... I mean,
that's right.
You're going to be a bad team anyways. You're not going from 30 to... you're not going from worst to first.
So hold on a second. Kennedy was placed on waivers because they rejected the arbitrator's ruling.
They couldn't walk away from it. So they had to keep it. They had to sign him to that deal, and now we're putting him on waivers with that
deal.
Okay,
so when we talk about five teams showing interest,
right,
that's placing a waiver claim.
Right, apparently.
And whichever team was lowest in the 2009-2010 season...
Andrew, has he been placed on waivers yet? Or are they just looking to trade him before they place him on waivers? I thought they were looking to trade him before. We should get confirmation on that.
Colligan is saying right now that he's already cleared waivers and he's been bought out, but I'm not sure if that's totally accurate. He's saying that he cleared waivers at noon, and he's 100% sure that he cleared waivers at noon.
Oh, right, so Buffalo had to accept it because he was making less than 1.1.
Yeah,
he was awarded less than
1.1, whatever million.
Okay, now I get that.
I mean, I suppose, for Kennedy, it's probably going to be a bargain. He can be signed for anything at this point in time, but if there's a bidding war for him,
right,
he's already got $350,000 in the bank because Buffalo had to pay him out.
He's going to get the minimum salary.
I think he'll get more than the minimum salary.
At least the minimum. So,
so he's already made profit on this one. So he's going to get $350,000. If a bidding war breaks out, I could see him getting... Could he get a 1.5?
No. I don't think he'll get over 1 or 1.2.
He was awarded 1, so I mean...
So if he was a rookie last year and he's a free agent, he obviously just signed a one-year deal, right? Why is he a free agent at 24 years old?
He's not a free agent. He was an RFA.
Restricted.
And so they walked... So then they waived him.
Right, but he originally signed his entry-level contract had to have been a one-year deal, which is odd.
Well,
a three-year deal when he came into the league.
I think he's an older... player, so it's not like, even though he's a rookie, I'm fairly certain that he's not on your traditional rookie contract.
But I thought that the age, the new CBA, the earliest that you, not the earliest you could become in a UFA, but any type of free agent, was over 25 or having played 3 years in the league.
I think if you're an undrafted free agent...
Colligan just posted a link on there about that it's died by the blade, it's a Buffalo Sabres blog, that's comparing Drew Stafford to Tim Kennedy. I don't know who brought up the Drew Stafford Tim Kennedy comparison, because that's just ridiculous, and so I'm not even going to give it time. But I disagree with that blog in terms of Kennedy maxing himself out. I mean, young talent, you cited Rob Niedermeyer. I just don't understand it. But it's not, again, guys, we're talking about a guy who might crack the roster and can add and be a nice asset for a team. But it's not a be all and end all here. But to me, it just seemed like an odd move.
It's a very odd move, and I'll be interested to see what he actually ends up signing for it looks like he's going to hit the open market. So I mean,
waivers, he's on the market.
He's hit the open market. So it's going to be interesting to see what he ends up signing for. Right. I think it'll be more profitable for him. It's just it's a head scratcher all around in my mind. Let's leave it there. When we come back, we're going to discuss the wheelings and dealings of the Anaheim Ducks. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
Want to know how to move forward in life, get ahead, and do better for yourself? The answer is CDI College. CDI has helped thousands of grads get ahead, and you could be next. Call CDI right now. They have lots of programs to choose from. Programs that can get you in, get you trained, and get you working in less than a year. Training will help you move forward and make more money. It's as simple as that. A new career in under a year. What are you waiting for? Call CDI now at 1-800-380-7359 or go online at cdicollege.ca.
Hi, I'm Kenny, host of The Kenny Show, heard Sundays from noon to 2 here on Kick FM. And I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize. Sometimes The Kenny Show can be insensitive, sometimes politically incorrect, and sometimes, well, it's in bad taste. For this, I'm sorry. The Kenny Show should always be insensitive, always be politically incorrect, and always in bad taste. After all, real opinions about real-world issues usually are. So join me Sundays from noon to 2 on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9 Kick FM for the stories you want to talk about the way you want to talk about them. That's The Kenny Show.
Beer for breakfast sucks. I mean, they got no stars. They got no hits. They play music I wouldn't take a to. They got these local guys I've never even heard of before. And they come into the studio all dressed up in their denim Value Village outfits. And they keep talking about these cool clubs they're playing at. And it's quite pathetic if you ask me. I also hear the host doesn't shower, but that's an FYI. Beer for breakfast, it's where the crap begins.
Every Saturday from 10 to 1 on 92.9 Kick FM.
My name is Walter Mitchell.
Oh my!
Kick FM. Let's go. Saturdays. Start. 1 p.m. Retro Evolution. Retro Evolution. 80s.
Ooh, for something to hold the power of on the road. Oh,
92.9 Kick FM.
Good people we meet. Good friends we have. Good friends we've lost.
We're back on the Legal Curve Radio Show. We've actually lost one of our good friends as he has gone to use the washroom. We're not sure he's going to make it back from the wilds. We're surprised he made it back from the woods.
No, Ezzy, no cry.
I'm crying. No, Ezzy, very cry. Anyways, welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show, live on 92.9 Kick FM, and of course at www.ustream.tv/legalcurve. If you want to get in on the conversation, 780-KICK, 780-5425, or send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. While we're at it, you can always follow us on Twitter, @illegalcurve, and on Facebook, legalcurve.com. Moving to Anaheim, the signed James Wisniewski.
Have you seen Anaheim's defense?
I have not. You're going to pull it up, though.
Well, I have it up here, but I mean, you know, from a team that once had the Pronger-Niedermeyer combination.
Yeah. You know, so this
Wisniewski, Lidman, before you start.
Okay.
Aaron Ward, Sheldon Brookbine, Danny Sivret, Brett Festerling, and then Andy Sutton, who you're just going to mention right now.
Right.
Cam Fowler can't come soon enough, and that soon enough might be this year because they're desperate.
They signed James Wisniewski to this one-year, $3.2 million contract. And then they immediately trade him.
Well, that's what they only sign him because they're going to trade him. They only sign that deal because they were going to trade him.
This isn't the NBA where they're signing trades and sort of thing. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously they like Andy Sutton. I mean, they sign Wisniewski, they trade him to the Islanders. The next day, they sign Andy Sutton to a two-year, $4.25 million contract. So they obviously prefer Andy Sutton at 2.15 a year.
Well, it's a big difference.
Over $3.2 million a year.
Yeah.
It's a million-dollar difference.
Now Wisniewski is an interesting guy. He's a pretty good skater. He's actually got a really good shot. Pretty good puck mover. Now, he does make some senseless plays, like the massive hit on Seabrook last year. That was not really a hit, quote-unquote, because he didn't have the puck. Yeah. On a former roommate. It was weird. But a little bit of upside there. I mean,
He's a younger guy. I mean, look, we know what Andy Sutton's going to bring. He's going to bring toughness and grit and everything else.
Put you this way,
but he's not bringing much else.
If you're the Islanders and you're not even close to up against the cap and you had a guy like Wisniewski for essentially nothing.
I think it was for a third-round pick or a conditional third or something.
It's nothing significant. It's a pretty good move.
I like the move for... I mean, isn't Wisniewski the kind of guy that you want on your team in that he's, you know, fine. He makes some occasionally silly moves, but you know he's dependable relatively. You know what you're going to get from him. He can slot into your three or your four
easily. For a 1 year deal, Drew, the argument could be made that Wisniewski on this team that really doesn't have much offense aside from Vishnovsky probably should be on that team for one more year.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't like. I mean, Andy Sutton. I mean, you know, Andy Sutton's a fine.
Well, Andy
player.
Sutton will fit in quite well with the undisciplined Ducks because that guy takes a lot of penalties.
Well, I mean, it just seems like he's a big guy who can hit.
I mean, block shots. Again, I mean, he can be a third pairing defenseman. Okay, third pairing defenseman, but you're paying a little more than the third pairing defenseman probably should be paid.
You're overpaying him, and I mean, you know, you pay $3.2 million for your number three defenseman in Wisniewski. It's not so bad.
No.
Okay, it's not terrible.
I missed the first part of the segment.
As he's back from the woods, everybody.
I had to relieve myself, but are we spending more than 30 seconds talking about...
Oh, we are.
It must be early August if we're comparing...
No, Matt.
James Wisniewski versus...
This is a lyrical radio show. We talk about everything.
Yeah, but this should have been 30 seconds.
Do you use soap when you wash your hands? How many steps did you take?
You're assuming he washed his hands.
I will never leave a bathroom without using the soap. And if there is no soap, I'll make sure I use water or I rub my hands on a wall or something.
Yeah, that's not going to do anything for you.
Well, I mean, if there's no soap, you got to do something. You got to rub your hands together or something.
No.
But yeah, I mean, this is the Illegal Curve show. And James Wisniewski is the biggest signing that the Islanders had this offseason.
Well, I mean, it's a trade. I mean, it's a reasonable question to ask in that, you know, we like Bob Murray around this table for the most part.
That's a good GM.
It's just a very curious move. I just don't fully understand. Like somebody, like you know, usually yeah, I can get from step A to step B how they come up to this decision.
Yeah.
This one is just. I mean, unless they're trying to save as much money as possible for a Bobby Ryan contract, but they're not. Are they tied against the cap?
No, they're not tied up against the cap.
Okay, hold on. If we're going to talk about that trade, I want Drew. You're going to get mad because I know you have the plan today.
The show plan, which I have every week.
Let's throw out some of the free agents left. Okay, can I do that now? Can I read some of these?
Go ahead.
Okay. James Myrtle, who we've had on the show before, put this together on his blog, which you can get off of the NHLPA or NHL.com. Okay, these are the UFAs, significant UFAs that we have left out there. Lee Stempniak, Eric Bélanger, Maxim Afinogenov, Bill Guerin, and my boy Mike Motto. Nothing too special there. You got to think that.
Yeah, well, let's rank the forwards.
Well, you got to think that the best forward skill-wise out there is probably Stempniak.
The best, most useful forward to me is Bélanger, probably.
Bélanger is a little more versatile.
He can play in all situations.
Afinogenov might not end up playing again, but he might get signed a little later.
KHL fit.
Guerin might be done.
Why didn't the Penguins just bring him back?
He'll probably stay with the Penguins.
He's solid. He's nothing Motto, special anymore.
Motto's from New York. He's another guy, I believe he's from
he's
New York.
A puck mover.
He might end up on the Islanders or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
But nothing. Kovalchuk would be the big guy if his contract is... It turns out that whole ordeal ends up, you know, making him a UFA again. But RFAs. Okay, now I'm going to go over some of these guys, bigger names, okay, that
okay.
A lot of these guys might not get signed.
Bobby Ryan here?
RFAs.
Bobby Ryan's got to be the number one guy on
RFAs,
the
RFAs, Bobby Ryan, Carey Price, Mark Stahl, Chris Stewart, Patrick Hornqvist,
Carey Price signed.
I don't think he did, Drew.
No, he did.
Did he not?
No. They're negotiating right now.
I'm almost positive he did.
No, Carey Price hasn't signed. This list is up to date. Okay, list was made.
You mentioned Bobby Ryan. Let's talk about Bobby Ryan.
Not signed, Drew. Not signed.
Not signed. No. Let's talk about Bobby Ryan. He is a key, probably the key to Anaheim's success.
One of them, yeah.
Bobby Ryan,
part of the big
Ryan
line.
Gets
yeah.
Left.
Yeah, I mean, but
that
I mean,
line.
Corey Perry.
The three still. Yeah, I mean, why is he unsigned and why is nobody talking about the fact that he's unsigned?
I want to talk a little bit about that because the Bobby Ryan one's a little bit odd to me, in that he always seems to be. To me, they always seem to be baseless, but he always seems to be in the rumors. Possible trade bait or, you know, contract troubles. It hasn't really been a smooth ride there. At least from afar, it seems like it hasn't been a smooth relationship really ever with the management there going back to Burke. And I don't really understand why that is. You know, he didn't get called up right away. Like they took their time as opposed to Crosby came right in and obviously took over the league. Bobby Ryan was really eased in, which you can argue was a good thing. But it just seems like they were never really on the same wavelength.
But shouldn't you be? I mean, if you're Anaheim, and I mean, unless there are problems behind the scenes that we don't know about. Look, you have a line, a number one line that rivals any number one line in the NHL.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't you be doing everything in your power to keep that number one line together?
Well, the argument is, Drew, is how much money do you want to spend? I mean, you're paying Corey Perry $5.3 million on the cap hit. If Ryan signs for more than that, for example, are you going to be already putting $11 million bucks or more than that into two wingers?
Well, I mean,
and you're gonna run into problems like Chicago has run into,
especially with the wings, right? You know, with playing
on wingers, you're saying is what you're saying. To me, though, I mean, I understand that there's the cap ramifications. I understand that completely, but I mean, you just have to. It seems like
there's an internal budget there too, right? Because this team's not making enough. They don't sell out games.
No, that team doesn't make any money. But I mean, you have to figure that you know, so say they don't. I mean, they're good. We all expect that he's going to end up signing with Anaheim before the season starts, right?
What?
We're expecting that Bobby Ryan's going to sign with Anaheim before the season starts. Maybe on a one-year deal, if not a long-term deal.
Seems most likely probably a one-year deal right now.
You know, and maybe he'll play on one-year deals or until arbitration.
Well, I mean,
and
you know what? Bobby Ryan's kind of guy, Drew, that they can make a trade and get back that defense help that they want, and then have Fowler in there, and they could turn their defense into a pretty young, good defense pretty quickly.
Right.
So that's the kind of chip that they could have, and they still have that core two guys up front, right?
My concern is just the ramifications of what it would do to Getzlaff and Perry.
Nothing.
You don't think that Bobby Ryan will...
doesn't exclusively play with them, Drew, and I mean, he obviously has at times, but Ryan Getzlaff could play with you and Ezzy on wings, and he'd get 65 assists.
Ezzy was the number one overall draft pick in the Jewish Hockey League once.
And Corey Perry is darn good, guys.
Those were the days.
Those guys don't need anybody. Those guys control the puck down low all day. They don't need anybody.
It's just, you know, he's a... Why isn't somebody going after him? Just the fear of having enough
picks? Five draft picks.
Why do they even have an RFA system at this point in time?
Well, you can utilize it if you want, but who wants to get that much draft picks?
Nobody does. It's what I'm saying. It's a
Well, they used it for Charmelson, and it worked. They matched it, and they ruined their cap space, had to get rid of the Emmy.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it worked. So why doesn't the rival go after that?
Because this is a different story. This is not a middle level. The RFA is actually... Contracts are really in there for the mid-level guys.
But for the top-level guys, they have nowhere to go.
Well, look at it now, Drew. I mean, obviously, Edmonton wouldn't have been as bad if they had Vanek. But if you're Buffalo right now and you have Vanek, who's been a really, really good player, but you could have had four or five first-round picks from Edmonton,
you give it up.
In this system, you probably give it up.
You probably give it up. You're absolutely right. I mean, I'm saying that. But, like, you know, so a guy like Bobby Ryan has, you know, allegedly he's got leverage, but he really doesn't. Because nobody's giving up those four or five number one draft picks.
I agree with that. I think you're absolutely
right. So I think that's an area where, I mean, it all, you know, we're
talking about. He really doesn't have much leverage, absolutely. And that's what you want, though, in hockey, right? So you can just hit the road with, like, the NBA guys can, boom, gone, see ya.
You're right. You want, I mean, you want the team to be able to hold on to their assets to some extent. But, I mean, you know, if he's just, like, he doesn't have any arbitration right. You know, maybe they should start adopting something similar to baseball where they get arbitration rights earlier. The team gets to control him. But he gets arbitration rights
like
earlier. So if you perform...
I like the baseball system. I have no problems with
it. You know, you look
system.
At the guys... Like,
I don't think the hockey system's that bad, though, Drew.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's that bad either. But I think that for a guy like Bobby Ryan who's sitting there... I mean, I'm not sure what kind of offer he's holding out for because none of us expect that
he wants
to
make money.
Yeah, but he's not going to get it. And he's got no leverage. So what are you doing? Just posturing at this point in time?
But Barrett, hold on a second, though. If the salary cap is, you know, such a huge, you know, it's a huge problem right now. Let's be honest. But Bobby Ryan,
I like it.
Bobby Ryan is on the cusp of the prime of his career, and he's unquestionably emerging as a superstar. Maybe superstar is overrated, but he's in the prime, cusp of prime. Okay, I already said it. A lot of these guys, and I was going to go over some of the other free agents like Solani, Kariya, Brendan Morrison, Theodore. Those guys are on the tail ends of their careers and will sign eventually. Maybe not Theodore, but Solani definitely. You have to think, though, that all of the leverage... You're talking about a lot about leverage. You have to think that it's all the leverage is in the hands of the owners right now. Because almost... I mean, it's all related if you think about it. A lot of these defensemen that are getting overpaid, if you're a fourth or fifth defenseman on a good team and you're getting paid $3 million, well, that's $1 or $2 million that you can't pay Bobby Ryan.
But this is a
is
top...
Is it not? See where I'm going with that, though?
I do. But this is a top-line player who should be under a... who deserves big money and who deserves...
Let's go over his... I mean, he played... significant portion, not all exclusively with the top line last year, but he played a significant portion of the top line last year, a little bit less the year before. Let's go over his numbers and see exactly what you think he should make, Drew. Let's do that. Okay, I'm going to pull him up, and we'll see exactly what you think he should make. Because you're talking about, you know, he's a superstar. Well, not yet. It's not consistent enough to be a superstar. Yeah, I mean, I like Bobby Ryan. He play my team any day of the week. Don't get me wrong, guys. But just, you know, he's asking all for all this money. Right away, guys, I think it's something to, you know, step back and be like, okay, you know, Bob Murray knows what he's doing. He clearly knows the player.
Well, let's hear the numbers.
Okay, let's hear the numbers. Hold on a second. Pulling them up.
Okay.
While you're pulling up the numbers, though, okay, it seems like post CBI, I realize it was good to have, you know, stability, especially for the Canadian teams, and knowing that they wouldn't be, you know, at a disadvantage. But it just seems like, you know, a lot of these problems that teams are facing now, it's a good thing in the way that they're protected.
I agree.
That
yes,
you know what I mean. Like
it protects them from it protects their own players.
It just seems like these. You know, I mean, $500,000 is significant when you're talking about a different day and age.
Here, I got his numbers here.
Okay, let's hear him.
All right. Okay. So last season, he scored 35 goals.
Yeah.
29 assists, 64 points in 81 games. The season before, he had 31 goals, 26 assists, 57 points in only 64 games. So actually, wasn't as good last year, even though he's playing more with Getzlaf and Perry, which is odd.
How old is he?
He's 23. He's gonna be.
So he's 23. He's already a somewhat consistent 30 goal scorer in the NHL.
Young.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a guy.
I said he could play on my team any day of the week, but you know, what is he worth right now for 30? Yeah, for that much, he's probably gonna get himself 5 to 6 a year. But if you're Anaheim, you don't really need to sign him right now. You can sign him to a 1-year deal, and he might be worth trading. It depends on the situation of your organization. I mean, Bobby Ryan's talent level is unquestionable. I mean, the guy is a great skater. He's a power forward. He can get in there. He's obviously, he benefits from playing with those players, though. So, I mean, Bobby Ryan, you can take solace in the fact that he actually was more efficient in terms of goals the year before when he was playing less with Getzlaf less than he was last season. So, in terms of can he do it on his own, most likely. Obviously, he's better with Getzlaf and Perry.
But isn't that just like kind of, you know, my point wasn't the best, you know, laid out point. I didn't articulate it.
Go ahead.
Articulate it as well as I could have. But
okay, what's that?
It seems like every team is in this precarious situation. As a fan or, you know, a member of the media, whatever, you'd have to think that these are, you know, very unfortunate situations. Antti Niemi, how could the Chicago Blackhawks possibly let this guy go? Well, they don't have the option.
Salary cap management is a fact of life in professional sports in the year 2010. And it's not going
away.
Except in baseball, and it's not going away anytime soon.
No chance.
So we have to live with it. And eventually, I mean, I just think, I mean, and the players have grown to accept the fact that there's going to be a salary cap.
Right.
But I do think that the NHLPA in the next round of negotiations will have to deal with the Bobby Ryan type scenario,
yeah,
where a guy has no leverage whatsoever, and that's going to be an area in which that they're going to target and say, we need some sort of situation. We need arbitration to begin at an earlier age. Something along those lines to give this player a little bit of leverage. And the team still has the option to walk away from it.
I disagree. If you're that good, the team will have to sign you. I disagree.
But I think Bobby Ryan is that good, though. I mean,
they're going to have to sign him. They need him.
Yeah.
I think he's got leverage. If you're good enough, you have leverage.
Yeah. What's his leverage? What's his options?
They're not going to pay him less than $5 million next year. Or, like, they're not going to pay him maybe a little bit less, but probably not. On a 1-year pack, probably $4 to $5 million, maybe a little bit more. He'll sign for that. He'll play really well, and he'll either be traded or sign an offer sheet or something like that. I mean, there are available avenues, and I believe next year he'll be heading into his arbitration year, if I recall correctly.
That's fine. I just think that arbitration should start probably at an earlier year for the few cases. I mean, for the few situations in which the player exceeds what is
he's outpricing. Well, maybe he thinks he's worth more than he is, Drew.
Well, then let an arbitrator decide it then. That's why you have arbitration.
Getzlaf and Perry, realize this, Drew. Getzlaf and Perry are only 25, and he's 23.
Yeah, I know. Everybody,
Stanley Cup ring.
Look, players all
better at even strength, better track record in terms of everything, really.
Richard, I'm not arguing with you here, but let's give an area to even discuss the issue.
The cap hit for Perry and Getzlaf, by the way, they're looking like pretty good solid contracts. 5.3 a year, cap hits through 12-13. You can't pay him more than those two guys.
I'm not saying you have to pay him more than those two guys.
So if he's turning down anything close to that, well, take a hike.
What would you pay him?
Not more than those guys. What would I pay him right now for a 1-year deal?
If you take
him at for 4.25 to 4.5 if you can get that. Maybe a little bit higher if you have to. You see what he does. He does another time next year and he plays even well, really well. You say, hey, like Detroit did with all their players. You're not getting more than Lidstrom. You're not getting more than Getzlaf. I make the argument on this show before that Ryan Getzlaf is the third best center in the entire world, or even forward in the entire world at times. I think he is. I think he's that good.
I
would take Getzlaf on my team over Malkin. And Bobby Ryan is a winger. A damn good winger, but a winger. He's not going to make more than Ryan Getzlaff. Stanley Cup ring, Olympic gold medal, amazing playoff performer.
I'm not saying
dominant center.
I'm not saying that he needs to come in there. I'm not saying that Anaheim should pay him $6 million. I'm saying that there needs to be something written into the CBA that allows for players of Bobby Ryan's capacity to have some leverage or to have an avenue in which to somebody else can determine their worth. And if Anaheim wants to walk away from that, so be it. There just needs to be an arbitration at an earlier age.
How many players are in his position and sign? I mean, this is an exception to the rule to me.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it's an exception to the rule. I don't think it's the biggest issue, but it's something that should be dealt with.
Both sides are reasonable. I don't see an issue.
You don't see an issue?
No. The system works. I like it.
We don't know what Anaheim's offering.
Sure, nobody knows.
If they're lowballing, because they know the player can't go anywhere and he's not going to sit out a year.
So, if the player sits out a year, it hurts their chances to make the playoffs, therefore make money, therefore gain fans, gain revenue.
He's not going to sit out a year. I mean, it's not going to be a situation. I mean, look, if they're offering him, I don't think there's any scenario in which they're offering him a reasonable value and he's going
to
sit out a year.
Look at their defense one more time and tell me if they can afford to not sign Bobby Ryan.
No, they can't.
That's the point. They both can't. They can't not afford to sign him. Right. That's why these sides come together.
But I'm saying if
you need arbitration to have that.
Well, it's August 3rd today or 4th or whatever it is.
4th.
Is it 4th? Okay,
I don't even know. Drew, you said that, the salary cap is, every single player is mentioned in the same breath as the salary cap or how it relates to the team salary cap in the year 2010, and I agree with you 100%. Is the sitting out player also a byproduct of that? Because I can't remember the last time a player sat out in any league, to be honest with you.
The last time I think a player really missed a big chunk of the season, I mean, Fedorov is the one that jumps to mind when he signed when he got the big RFA deal from Carolina.
That was in the summer, though.
He missed part of the season.
How long ago was that? That was 7 or 8 years ago.
I don't think he did.
Fedorov played for Carolina.
No, he didn't.
No, he signed to
I'm pretty sure he missed part of that season.
No, he never played
And then he came back after Carolina signed him to that offer sheet.
I thought that was in the summer.
I could be wrong. I mean, it's not unheard of that.
That was only because Carolina was mad at Ilitch over the pizza business.
Yeah, well, the pizza. No, it's CompuWare. They had junior hockey.
CompuWare, Little Caesars in the Detroit area.
Exactly.
That was very much a signing with a certain purpose.
It was a purpose to hurt the owner and to screw with him. Remus, check out on that Fedorov thing while we go to break.
It was 02, I think.
I don't remember. Find out if he signed. I thought he signed midway through the year.
That was in the summer.
Okay, well, we'll find out. Remus will check. We'll report back. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show, live on 92.9 KICK FM.
This is 92.9 KICK FM.
CKIC FM, broadcasting live from Red River College in Winnipeg.
And on the MTS TV service at channel 724.
92.9 KICK FM, Winnipeg's indie station.
Sweatshack is your headquarters for World Cup gear. World Cup South Africa jerseys are in now, with new ones arriving regularly. An unsurpassed shoe selection and team uniforms for all sports at Sweatshack St. Anne's and St. Mary's, or call 254-2255.
You're listening to 92.9 KICK FM, and you're not alone.
Thousands of people just like you tune in for the freshest new and local music in town, cutting-edge talk and analysis programs, and the best and brightest up-and-coming young broadcasters.
Advertising your business, services, and causes supports the station and keeps our programs on the air.
Email sales at kick.fm or call 997-6234, and we'll help you get your message out to your customers on 92.9 KICK FM, Winnipeg's Indie Station.
Hey, it's me, Barrett, with 360winnipeg.ca, and I want to tell you about the 360 Degrees of Summer Contest. What you need to do is send us your best video or photo montage of your summer action and qualify to be one of Winnipeg's 5 best summer moments, maybe even the grand prize winner for the very best voted on by you, the 360 Winnipeg faithful and the listeners of KICK FM. We will be selecting the top 5 summer moments from our entries. 4 will receive a $200 consolation prize, with the grand prize winner receiving a $2,000 prize package from some of Winnipeg's best purveyors of summer. This includes Gord's Cycle and Ski, GNR Camping World, Aquatech, Booster Juice, and many, many more. That's 360 degrees of summer only on 360winnipeg.ca.
Nighttime radio in Winnipeg never sounded so good. Tune in every Monday to Thursday night at 11 to catch the alternative news and analysis you may have missed on Winnipeg's most influential drive-home show, The Great Canadian Talk Show. That's right, replays of the radio program everybody is talking about four nights a week at 11 p.m. on Winnipeg's indie station 92.9 Kick FM. Don't you dare miss it!
p.m. and you're back on the Illegal Curve radio show on this Wednesday night. 92.9 Kick FM is the dial you're tuned to. You're following us on Ustream at www.ustream.tv/legalcurve. You can give us a call in studio, 780-KICK. Send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. Follow us on Twitter, @illegalcurve, and on Facebook, illegalcurve.com. I believe that's everywhere, right? Anywhere else we are?
I think you're good, Drew.
Okay, good. We're going to shift gears now and talk about a couple defensemen who signed contracts this week. The first, we're going to start in St. Louis with Eric Johnson. Signed a two-year contract worth $2.6 million per season.
On the golf course.
On the golf course. Hopefully there are no golf carts involved. Oh, sorry, before we get to that, I should mention, of course, that I was right about Sergei Fedorov.
Where?
And he did sign in February of 1998.
We were searching. Well, apparently it was in Nagano he signed it while playing the Olympics.
So there you go. You know, there's a rare occasion
that's
for everybody
been,
when I'm
know,
correct.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Now, Eric Johnson, I believe TB, if he's in the chat room still, I think he's in St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken. 2 years, $2.6 million.
It's pretty low.
I mean, is he ever going to reach the levels that we all thought he was capable of?
Yeah, Drew. I mean, he had a setback, obviously, 2 years ago, and last season he was really coming into his own. You know, give him a season to get back there, get his knee going. To me, I mean, you're hoping he can be the American version of Drew Doughty. I mean, Drew Doughty, I think, is in a different class than basically everybody. But I want to compare their numbers now, so you have a little bit of an idea of the players. So
I think Eric Johnson really hasn't had the opportunity to really show anything yet either. I mean, he's just getting the chance now because he's healthy. I mean, I think.
I'll tell you one thing. That golf course incident cost him a lot of money.
Because if he had been healthy for the last 2 years,
that's right.
I mean, he would have been.
He could have progressed. Obviously, his career would have been a year further.
Yeah,
and he would have obviously, you know.
I would argue even more than a year further. I mean, I think to really recover from an ACL or a knee injury of that capacity, you're looking at a year off the ice, and then to get your timing and everything back on the ice, you're talking about another 6 months or so. I bet.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unreasonable that it would take that long.
Thing. Obviously, you're skating, but you have to feel comfortable with it, and it's an injury. I mean, as a U-tour. Something. So let's look at their career numbers, okay?
Yeah.
148 games played for Eric Johnson, and Doughty is 163. Doughty has 86 points. Johnson is 72. Comparable numbers. Johnson has a howitzer from the point. He's not as good. Johnson's puck skills are great, but Doughty's puck skills are
otherworldly.
Otherworldly, yeah. Exactly. Johnson, I mean, Doughty's awareness in the defensive zone is good. He does get caught up position, though, and he gets a little bit overeager. That'll, with time and with age, he will mature into that. Johnson's is already pretty solid defensively. Obviously has his gaffes, too, because he's still a young player. But I say that about the money because Drew Doughty, coming into next year, is going to sign a long-term extension, and it's going to be worth probably up to close to $6 or $7 million a year. And Eric Johnson, because he had that knee injury, right? He comes up into this season. He's going to be making
2.6.
Yeah.
So I mean, the cap hit is at least 2.6.
I think, to be honest with you, I think that actually that deal, while in line with maybe that next step for now for what he's done, that deal is going to be a bargain for St. Louis for the next year.
It does seem like a bargain. That's what jumped out at me. Is like this is a guy.
The David Perron deal too. That could end up being a bargain now when all these guys come out in 2 years. When Perron
2.2 and 3 is what I've told.
When Perron comes,
averages out to
2.6. It's all about the cap hit.
Yeah.
But when Perron and Johnson, these guys might come up and they might be having huge years and they're all coming up as free agents at the same time. Then you're a little bit.
Then you're looking at the Chicago situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is a team that we all agree that St. Louis is a team certainly on the rise.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%.
They're hot. They're hot right now. And I think when you hear about players that 29 GMs, obviously, you know, the team not included, would scoop up, you know, Drew Doughty is an obvious. Eric Johnson is one of those guys, too. And St. Louis, I think, going to do everything in their power to make sure that he gets the ice time and is put in the situations, because he's only 22 years old.
2 years from now, could he be a UFA, or is he still going to be would he still be under RFA arbitration situation?
Sorry?
2 years from now, when this contract expires, is he going to be a UFA or is he still going to be RFA arbitration?
He'll be an RFA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he, you know, they still hold on to his, they still control him.
It's only 22.
But he'll be an RFA with arbitration rights. Well, who knows what the next CBA is going to say.
It's also true,
but,
though, that he stayed in Minnesota for a year after, right?
He certainly is taking his time. You know, he's not...
Minnesota boys don't like to leave Minnesota, that college program.
Well, can you blame him?
That depends.
Eric Johnson's going to have a BMOC year next year.
Yeah.
Snap him up in your pool. If you're going to do a pool, snap up Eric Johnson late in the rounds, because this is...
This is
a perfect year for St. Louis to have
last year he had 39 breakout points. Year. Next year you can look at close to at least 50, I think.
I mean, it just seems like he's going to be a guy that 2 years from now people are going to be, or next year people could be saying, would it surprise anybody if he was up for the Norris Trophy in the next 2 years?
No.
And you're going to be paying him $2.6 million? It's a good bargain.
Yeah, but the issue obviously is, is the value you're getting in those 2 years, if he does turn out, going to be worth it, going to be greater than the maybe market value or over market value, and they're paying him on the next contract, right?
Is he going to want a bigger payday than he actually deserves because he's getting less money in this paycheck?
To me, that wasn't an option. Eric Johnson wasn't taking a long-term deal here at a lower salary because he is too young and too good to be taking that deal.
Of
so
course,
I don't really think
he's
that
not going to get signed.
His agent's not that stupid.
He's
so
not
right?
going to sign for 5 years and $50 million
says,
right
give
now.
Give us two, we'll make a, you know, we'll give us 2 years. Just under three per on the cap hit, and we'll see what we're. He's confident his player will be a top 5 or 10 defenseman, and will be commanding 6 to 7.
If he takes a 1 year contract, he could very well be in the same. If he had taken a 1 year contract, he would have been in the same Bobby Ryan situation that we see this year.
Sure.
No arbitration rights, and you know, with little leverage, but tons of talent.
Fair enough.
But I mean, obviously they both sides said, We'll take reasonable, fair market value for a 22-year-old guy right now. Mm-hmm. But the next contract, you might be digging deep into your pockets and paying it for it. I mean, that's how, it's a good point by Colgan just saying in the chat room, you know, that this is how second contracts should work. Or they're supposed to work. But the Dustin Penner situation screwed it up for everybody. You know, Penner got overpaid on his second contract, and you know, the mentality for a while was, this is how the second contract is gonna go.
Mike Richards, those guys obviously had a big factor in that too.
The thing I think about with Richards, Richards is a different case because he's a guy that, you know, Philadelphia from the outset saw him as a guy that they want on their team for 12 years.
I'm just saying you're signing a long-term deal, but the cap hit that next year is suddenly higher, so you have comparable players want that much money the next year. I mean, the Penner signing is a factor, but it shouldn't have thrown everything for a loop as it did. I don't think it was a direct reason, but it's a factor, of course. I agree.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's one particular factor that would set an entire system, mess it up. But I think it is a factor.
Let's move on to Calgary because we've got two more topics to cover here. Let's move on to Calgary and the signing of Ian White.
Did you get that actual dollar at the end of his contract?
Steinbeck. I did. It's actually not. I say it's 1 year, $3 million, but it's not. I believe it's $2,999,999.99 or something. It's a weird
contract.
This deal
makes a lot of sense to me. You don't sign him for... You want to see what you're getting here. Now, forget the FNUF factor. You trade him for FNUF and it's going to come back to bite you. Because, I mean, they signed Stajan long-term.
Well,
3.5 a year.
That's right. I mean,
they have Hagman on the books for the next 2 years. So they have some remnants of that trade. White's the UFA after the season. But I think it works for both sides. Because Calgary wants to see if he's the real deal. And
yeah, exactly.
Last year was his real first big season.
And I think they will keep him.
And I think it's very
possible.
He's
a good defenseman.
Yeah, I think he is a very solid defenseman. I think that he's a guy who can add some offense, he could improve in the defensive zone, and he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he adds a puck-moving element to that team that they obviously need on the back end with Giordano.
And Richie, like you mentioned, now that they've re-signed White, they've given Stajan the deal, they've got Kotalik too, they'll have to move somebody. And it looks like that guy will probably have to be Stajos. Or no,
Stajos' contract. I can't believe
they have to move someone, though. Calgary's up there with 60, Chicago.
The thought is that Robin Regier is the guy who's going to be the guy.
Well, that Regier for Savard deal made so much sense for both sides.
Of course, but it made too much sense. That's why it would never happen. Now, I mean, the question, let's just ask the question because it's the elephant in the room.
How do you get rid of your gear, by the way? He's given you so much. He's
doesn't matter. You can't have any sentimentality. Right. Sentimentality is what causes you to lose your mind.
But you know me, Drew.
Or Glenn Sather. You know, Glenn Sather is a lesson in sentimentality, why it doesn't work.
It's true.
But
he's like past sentimentality.
Well, maybe that's what it is. But I mean, let's ask the question and we'll get through it real quick.
Sure.
Would you rather have, you know, White, Stajan, and Hagman, or would you rather have FNUF? I mean, right now you're
starting a team?
Not just right now you're Calgary. Go back. You make this trade again. Or is it just a factor you addition by subtraction, getting rid of FNUF?
Yeah,
was that situation just so far gone you couldn't be salvaged?
I don't think you make the deal again.
I think you probably they're probably still a deal for FNUF. I'm not sure if that would be the deal they make. That was the only surprising thing, was that was the deal they took. I think they still do deal for FNUF, though, because they have too much money tied up in the back end with Bumeister and Regier and FNUF, and they knew they'd, you know, they have to eventually sign Giordano, who they really value. So do I think that they, you know, it's a tough question, Drew. For that package, probably not. But at the same time, the players haven't changed. So if those players haven't changed, any of those three. So if they made that deal then why wouldn't they make it now? Would I make that trade today? If I had to start a team, who would I rather have?
Well, but obviously that's, I mean.
But let's be honest, guys, FNUF's still overpaid for what he's producing.
Oh, absolutely he's overpaid. I mean, that's why.
You're talking about a lot of overpaid players, essentially, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so
what are you thinking between?
But I mean, the thing is.
Hagman actually is good value.
He's the only one there who's got a good value. Because, I mean, it's now Calgary who's over. I mean, I don't think White's not being overpaid too much, but I think Stajan's being overpaid.
Yeah.
I mean, is he 4.25?
3.5.
3.5? Okay, I didn't have it right in front of me. But, I mean, I think he's being overpaid, and that's just I just think this could be Daryl Sutter's last stand this year.
Our guest 2 weeks ago, Jay Feaster, obviously has been rumored to be the next guy to take that seat if Sutter does lose his job. But, you know, Drew, in a league where the top teams and the bottom teams are pretty similar, since the end of last season, Calgary has gotten back Jokinen. You can say what you want about Jokinen. He's still better than a replacement player. And has added Alex Tanguy. A couple bounces. They're a playoff team. You know, this team is very close to a playoff team, if not on the fringe, you know, the 7-8 kind of spot there.
Yeah, but if
not going to satisfy anybody in Calgary.
But honestly, though, the sentimentality aspect aside, if they end up losing Regier because of the White and Stajan contracts, I think you're better off with Regier. Regier is still the best defensive defenseman they have. I think you're going to be a weaker defensive team.
I think if you have White, Giordano, Bumeister, and Sarich as your top four, and you can add a guy like Savard to a team that lacks offensive talent, and at the middle, you could have Savard number one, Stajan number two, and then Jokinen number three, for example.
Yep.
Then you could put a passer like Savard with a shooter like Jokinen, and maybe passer like Tanguy and Savard with Iginla, and then Jokinen kind of driving his own bus without the passing, making the passes necessary. You know, Stajan, a guy who likes to dish it off a bit and can shoot it a bit, but not a great shot. And then Hagman.
Hold on, did the Flames get Savard?
No, they didn't. He's saying it's all hypothetical if Regier gets traded there.
Yeah.
Okay,
bring it on.
They also need a big year from Michael Backlund.
He broke in with Calgary.
That's right. They need a big year from Michael Backlund. The Savard was in the deal. Now let's see if we can get this trivia right, okay? Mark Savard and Jan Halavic to New York what was the trade?
Well, make it quick. We still got to talk about Mike
Whatever
Weaver.
They got, it wasn't enough.
What it was.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Well, Remus will look up that trade and we'll report back after the next commercial break. But before we go there, they asked for it in the chat room. Let's talk about Mark.
Mark Savard was originally with New York. It was Mark Savard and the pick that ended up being Jamie Lundmark to Calgary for Jan Halavic and the pick that ended up being Oleg Saprykin, I think.
Yeah. Oleg Saprykin. Yeah. Wow. Impressive, Richie. Okay. Nicely done. That was impressive. Mike Weaver.
Yeah, a defensive defenseman for the most part. A small defensive defenseman. So that's kind of a rare breed.
Very well-liked guy known for his sense of humor, too.
Do you have his profile on Plenty of Fish?
No. Mike Weaver's a good guy.
You know, a guy they're adding into a team that, you know, has a little bit of lack of depth on the Florida back end there. A guy who plays a defensive role, played some sort, you know, that was counted on the penalty killing last year. That's actually probably one of the main reasons. They wanted to add depth in Florida, number one. Number two, the team was awful on special teams, both power play and penalty killing last year. So adding a penalty killing defenseman to a team that lost Keith Ballard is going to be a little bit helpful, and maybe buys Eric Goodbrandsen and Keaton Ellerbe a little bit more time if they need it.
So you like the move?
Yeah, no problem with it.
Okay. There you go. Let's leave it there. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Ottawa Senators. We're going to talk about Atlantis and the Rangers, the trade they made. And we're going to talk about the assistant coach upheaval in Vancouver. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 Kick FM.
The best in Sunday night radio starts right here at 7 p.m. on 92.9 Kick FM. Five 90-minute episodes in a row with the most insightful analysis of crime and justice issues, exclusive news and interviews, holding politicians and the big media to account, sports bloggers, and hearing what you listeners have to say. It's the Great Canadian Talk Show Replay Block every Sunday night at 7 p.m. on Winnipeg's Indie Station, 92.9 Kick FM.
This is an important message for Manitoba drivers. Effective July 15th, you'll have to put down your handheld cell phone, and if there are children in your car, put out your cigarette. That's because changes to the Highway Traffic Act become law on July 15th. Once these changes take effect, if you talk, text, or email using a handheld cell phone or smartphone while you're driving, or smoke in the car with children under age 16 present, you'll be breaking the law. For more information, visit manitoba.ca. A message from the Manitoba government.
Hey, it's me, Barrett, with 360winnipeg.ca, asking you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:10 p.m. for New Media Perspectives, a frank and candid look at all the latest gadgets, widgets, and trends in social media, only on the Great Canadian Talk Show, every Tuesday and Thursday on 92.9 Kick FM.
The world of sports gets full coverage on the Great Canadian Talk Show every week.
Every Monday, 5:20, Frank the Italian Barber tells you which coach should be fired, which player should be benched, and who needs a little trim.
On Wednesdays at 5:20, you'll hear a preview of the Illegal Curve Radio Show, Canada's best hockey coverage, which airs for 2 hours starting at 7 p.m. every Wednesday on 92.9 Kick FM.
And every Friday at 5:20, John Walton of Slam Sports previews all the weekend sports action.
A unique look at sports three times a week on TGCTF.
Good song.
8:20 in the p.m. You're back on the Illegal Curve Radio Show, 780-KICK, 780-5425. Send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com.
I have one more random hockey Mark Savard point I need Remus to research.
Remus?
Now,
they're ready.
Mark Savard's first NHL game with the Rangers, I believe, was February 26, 1998, at Maple Leaf Gardens, and he had four assists in that game.
Oh, Remus will check that out and we'll report back. And if you do know that, then you might be a bit of an idiot.
Also, I believe John Muckler's first game as Rangers head coach. But it might have been his second game. We'll check that out. What are we talking about this segment?
Muck. We're going to stage an intervention for you. And it's becoming crystal clear why you're currently single, though. That's for sure.
You know what we should do? We should post a segment on our site, illegalcurve.com.
Third game.
Richie, we need an intervention for
third
Richie's
game.
Addiction to the salary cap.
Third game. I thought it was the first. Maybe the second is the third.
Denise, I'm going to give you a heads up that the audience in the chat room would like to hear a little bit of triumph coming back from the next commercial break.
Check
it. He has triumph Wu-Tang Clan?
Nice.
Let's check with Colgan here and see if
Triumph was Wu-Tang. Or not. Not Triumph by the Wu-Tang Clan. Triumph, the band.
The Canadian band.
The
Canadian band.
Never heard of it. There's a band called Triumph?
Yes.
All I know is Triumph.
No,
I know Wu-Tang Clan.
They have a song that like every Canadian's heard on the radio 300 times.
Denise, by the way, could you see my sign that said "Play Wyclef" again?
We're not playing
Honestly,
Wyclef.
I played Wyclef when you were in the John, so you missed
oh,
it.
Oh, we've had two Wyclef songs.
What was that song?
Gone Till November.
There's No Woman, No Cry.
Oh, that's a great, great Bob
Marley cover. We changed it to No Ezzy, No Cry.
No, we've got two more breaks.
That's true, we did
or
do
one
that.
More break.
One more
right?
break. It's
yeah,
Triumph
so we
coming
should,
back.
We should do either Wu-Tang Clan or Wyclef. Not
no,
Triumph.
No,
Canadian
did you not
band.
Hear when our audience requested Triumph? Were you not here for that?
No.
I just said it.
Oh, you mean 2 minutes ago? Oh, yeah, I was here for that.
Short-term memory loss?
Yeah, apparently.
SML.
The Ottawa Senators...
or hold on. Short-term memory loss. STML.
The Ottawa Senators re-signed Chris Campoli.
Yeah.
It's 1 year, $1.4 million.
Another guy from New York.
We're
mentioning a lot of New York-born players. Campoli's from New York, Michigan.
They got him from the Islanders. I don't know where he's from originally.
He's from New York. I think you're right, isn't it?
Camps.
Small guy, not great in his defensive zone at all. Good skater, good puck mover. If you can play on the power play, obviously second unit, I'd assume now because of the Gonchar, I almost positive he'll be the second unit guy. 1.4, fifth, sixth defenseman. That brings some offense to the table. Yeah, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Don't understand why they traded a first round pick for him 2 years ago. Don't get me started on that. Ooh. But that contract's fine.
Okay. Well, it's sort of an under the under.
Where's our news and notes sound thing, by the way?
Oh yeah, Denise. Sorry, I forgot about the news and notes soundbite. Go ahead with that.
Rip that.
NHL. NHL. News and notes.
I got to tell you, Remus, you sound better and better each week doing that.
It actually does sound a bit better.
It does. A lot of people don't know that that's Denise's unedited voice.
Don't give me credit for that. I'd obviously have some really mad skills if I could do that.
Imagine your high-pitched voice turned into NHL news and notes without the...
Honestly, I've lost my voice, and I either do the Mickey Mouse thing or, down low where I sound like I've been smoking and drinking lots of gin.
Wouldn't it be funny if we did one show, all of us, on helium?
No.
Yes.
Like the chipmunks?
Yes, it would be funny. It would
be funny if we were having a serious conversation with a helium-induced
NHL news and notes.
So the Atlanta Thrashers acquired Donald Brashear and Patrick Rissmuller.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was a Seinfeld character. Wasn't there a Seinfeld character named Rissmuller?
Yeah, wasn't there?
Hal Kitzmiller.
Close enough. That's right, the guy with the stinky mattress, right?
Yeah, the stinky mattress that he got.
Yes, the mattress episode where Kramer is swimming in the Hudson or the East River, one of the two. Apparently Norfolk.
I thought it was the Hudson.
Was it the Hudson? Yeah, I thought it was the East River.
How's the Hudson?
I think they've both been in episodes. I don't know.
That's right. And H-Bomb 66 in the chat room says the lumbar yard. Exactly right. Yeah. Anyways, Donald Brashear and Patrick Rissmuller go to Atlanta in exchange for Todd White. Todd White's a guy I think is quite serviceable.
Under 30 points last year.
And playing in I think he's a solid third or fourth liner.
Huge cut in minutes under an offensive coach in John Anderson. Todd White, obviously, this is a little bit of a Doug Risebrough move here, pro scout for the Rangers, obviously former GM of the Wild, where White played for a couple of years, and good friend of Glenn Sather, or the GM formerly known as Glenn Sather.
Just the ghost of Glenn Sather's past.
One of the best GMs of all time, Drew. I mean, you can talk all you want about the Rangers. The Rangers' tenure hasn't been his best, but built maybe their best team of all time, so... I still am a big Glenn Sather. His legacy obviously is going to be a great one. The Rangers' time hasn't been his best, but adding Todd White in terms of New York, you're adding a guy who he can add you some secondary scoring. You don't have that many snipers obviously behind Gabrick. You need some secondary scoring. You could use some help up the middle. Obviously, if Dubinsky's not performing, they really have some weakness up the middle. You're trading. You're basically adding him for nothing because Donald Brashear, that contract still beyond me. Donald Brashear's not adding anything to the table. You just signed Derek Bougard, and then Patrick Rissmuller is a fourth line winger, if not AHL second liner, who comes in and out of the lineup, and you can get on waivers. So essentially traded. I mean, don't mean to be rude to those two players, but essentially traded nothing for a guy who they think can add some respectable offense to the table in New York. But Todd White isn't going to be anything special. I mean, if he can get you second line points production, you'll be very happy about it. And responsible, but not any kind of guy you can count. Responsible defensively, but not any guy you can count on to kill penalties a significant time at all. So he has his draw, but sometimes he gets mislabeled. I think he's a kind of the Steven Rheinprecht mold guy. He can add some offense there. He's not really going to be utilized in too many roles, but he can be a useful player. And with New York, when you have a lack of offense, you need it kind of from everywhere. And so he's a good addition, essentially, especially if you're adding him for very little.
But Richie, the Atlanta Thrashers are going to buy out Brashear, right?
He's already bought out. Brashear, part of the deal.
So Brashear's career.
They're cutting costs.
Is he done? Who
signs him? I agree. That's a good question.
That's what I was going to ask. Is this Donald Brashear's last?
I think so.
I hear he's going to join Georges Laurac and be the assistant co-director of the Green Party in Canada.
Yeah, that's very possible. You got Ezra's vote.
I vote for the other Green Party.
Oh, yes.
Not the Green Party. I vote for the other Green Party.
As in the marijuana party?
I didn't say that. I just said the other Green Party. I might mean green as in money. I might mean green as in the environment. Or I might mean green as in something else.
Or you might mean 420.
I will vote for the one party that... blanks something, decriminalizes something. That would probably be the Liberal Party, Drew.
I support your choice of party. Anyways, moving on. Is this just a nothing trade?
Yeah, it's not going to... No, nothing's getting decided here. I mean, maybe the Rangers sneak into a playoff spot, but, yeah, it's not going to be anything significant. We're not going to look back and go, that Todd White trade, ooh, that was a big one.
Okay, let's move to Vancouver, where really some assistant coaching upheaval.
Yeah.
Ryan Walter is out as the Canucks assistant coach. He's replaced by Newell Brown. Rick Bowness and Darrell Williams have been reassigned.
I thought they were re-signed.
No, reassigned.
Are you sure? I'm almost positive they were re-signed.
Where were they reassigned to?
I believe they were re-signed, and Ryan Walter was fired. So what happens is Newell's...
I read reassigned, but...
Check it out. While you're checking it out. I think Newell's going to come in and take over for Ryan Walter, who was dispatched by Mike Gillis, who said it was his decision. And the rest of the coaching staff is staying the same.
Here's the question I'm going to ask while I'm checking on if it was re-signed or reassigned.
I love this show. I mean, we're talking about the assistant coach of Vancouver. This is great.
What do you think about a general manager imposing the coaching staff onto the head coach?
Well, I don't have a problem with it, really, Drew, because... Ryan Walter was hired by Dave Nonis, and he gave him ample time behind the bench. He likes Alain Vigneault and has kept him around, but Mike Gillis is allowed to have a relationship, and he's allowed to make decisions. It's his team. Don't have a problem with it at all. I think it's a good move if he feels comfortable with it.
Sorry, you are right. It was re-signed.
Yeah,
re-signed. I read it a little too quickly this morning.
So, Drew, you do a great job with the show plan. Never any problems there.
Except
but Ryan Walters actually was obviously played for the Habs and won that Cup in 86 against the Flames. He was a guy who was doing, I believe, videos on skill and everything, and he was a teacher, essentially. And then they brought him behind the bench thinking that he could be a good mind behind the bench, and not that he isn't. But I don't think he hasn't fit in that well. And I wonder if he will, and I expect he might go back into television because he was actually quite good at that.
Yep.
But with Newell, I don't know too much about him, so I don't want to start speculating on his coaching ability because I would be speaking out of turn. I don't know.
You know, he's been around.
He spent
the last 5 years working as assistant coach with the Ducks. He's also worked for the Blue Jackets and the Blackhawks over 13 years.
So clearly Mike Gillis knows him and he thinks he can bring something to the table. No problem with that.
To me, the thing that jumps out at me is that I just never a fan of the general manager telling a coach who has to be on his coaching staff. I don't know why it leaves a sour taste in my mouth, but there's something about it that just... I mean. To me,
He's given Vigneault more
I know he's given Vigneault enough. I mean, and Jason Botchford, who was on the program last week,
Gil's the top five GM, Drew.
I'm not saying that, disputing that, but what Botchford said on Twitter, and there's probably a lot of truth to it, he says, you may have picked this guy and I may have picked that guy, but no excuses. It's your job to get the coaching staff on board and get everybody to win.
And I like how Gil said, it's my decision. I made the decision. It's on me.
Yeah, he didn't hide behind it at least, but he just came out and didn't even let. I mean, there'd be no reason to even talk to Vigneault about it, really. He came out and just said, this is on me. It's my choice, exactly like you said. There's nothing. There was nothing to it aside from
no
just
problem.
The general manager,
mm-hmm.
decided that this is a guy that they wanted to switch around. I'm just always a little wary of that. I think Gillis and Vigneault probably work well together already, so I'm not too concerned about it being a palace mutiny.
Gillis didn't have to keep Vigneault around, and he did.
And he did. And I mean, there's no signs that he's got one of his own guys waiting in the wings or anything like that.
No, not at this point in time.
No, I mean
the Canucks are going for it this year. So, if the Canucks don't make it past the second round this year, then Vigneault's gone.
I think if they struggle out of the gates,
they don't make it past the second round, they're gone. He's gone.
I don't even think he gets that. It could be if they struggle. The hopes
Gillis
are
is patient though, Drew.
I know he's patient, but the hopes are Stanley Cup or bust.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good head coaches sitting there on the sidelines
sure.
right now.
Sure.
So if it looks like he's if he looks like they're struggling at the 60 game mark. I wouldn't be shocked to see a Lamoriello pull to try and get them, to where Gillis thinks they belong.
I'm not so sure about that, but we'll see.
Yes, we certainly will.
Might have to play that clip back if Drew's right.
God forbid I'd be twice right twice in one show. That would be historic, as it were. What else jumps out to you guys? What else happened this week that jumps out at you guys as being really newsworthy topics?
Eddie?
We haven't talked. It's 8:30, and we haven't even mentioned Ilya Kovalchuk.
Yeah, good point.
I think that's a great thing. First of all, I mean, for those in case you missed it, the arbitration hearing got underway today.
Should be over at this point, right?
It's done for the day. They expect.
Was it in Boston?
Was it in Boston?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why was it in Boston?
Maybe because
the arbitrator is from New Jersey.
Because they have great clam chowder. just the red or the white, Famous?
I have a quick question. When you say arbitration, who's involved really? Like agents, lawyers?
No, this is just
Counsel
for the league and counsel for the Players Association.
But Kovalchuk was there. He canceled a trip to Russia to be there.
Oh.
Yeah. And you have to assume, I figure Grossman was also in the room.
Speaking of the clam chowder, though, I was out in the States.
We should probably spend the next 5 minutes discussing the weekend festivities.
Yeah, no, speaking of the, I want to get back to the Kovalchuk. But speaking of the clam chowder.
Can you order clam chowder at Hermanos?
No, I did the red or the white joke to somebody, I forget, it was in Minneapolis, and she goes, there only is white.
Really?
Or there only is red. And then I got the joke. After all those years, I was using that joke. I didn't realize that there wasn't actually one of those clam chowders.
I can never remember that one.
Yeah.
Did you order clam chowder?
No, it was a joke.
Oh.
I want to watch Ace Ventura Pet Detective right now.
Yeah, so he jingles the keys? Anyways.
Colligan would like to say that he stands corrected. Richard was totally right earlier. Savard had 4 assists in his NHL debut.
Really? I looked that up, and I can't find that.
Well, thank you, then. That's...
Hold on. 97-98, he said he played his first game against the Islanders, and he got none. But in the first game of the 98-99 season, he did have 4 assists against the Leafs.
Remus, are you screen-sharing with Colligan right now?
I'm not.
You have access to his screen?
No, I'm just...
Well, Colligan, you and Colligan have to exchange links there and figure that out, but it's close.
Add him on Facebook, man.
Yeah.
Not only that, Remus just got a Remus rules.
There you go. See, look.
He does rule. Remus
there
does
now.
Rule.
Colligan. That's great. Remus. Colligan's going to be stealing your job in a second here with the...
No, but I have under 97-98. I don't know. He could be right. 1997, it says.
I hope he's right, because that's what I said.
I'm a little concerned why Colligan is using a quote there from Mark Savard. Does he have Mark Savard like locked up in his closet or
something?
No,
he's got like a calendar. No, he's got the Far Side calendar. He's got like Mark Savard stats and quotes.
For a drink tonight, a cola. Where did Mark Savard play in the OHL?
Now you're using Matthew Frost.
Where did Mark Savard play in the OHL?
Oshawa Generals. Come on, SES.
I actually thought he came from the Q.
That was from Ottawa. Around the Ottawa region, which is why the rumors that he might go to Ottawa. Anyways, back to the Kovalchuk thing. Okay. I thought
we were going back to the dock party.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the dock party. Back to the Kovalchuk
thing.
I want
to hear about the dock party. I know H-Bomb wants to hear about the dock party.
We don't have much information in terms of what goes on in these. This is a closed hearing.
Right. The hearing is today and tomorrow.
When do we find out the results?
The expectation is we're either going to find out on Monday or over the weekend.
Because in reality, Drew,
I imagine that if they're smart, they'll wait till Monday and try and get a news cycle out of it.
Just in terms of practical reality, I'm Lamar Rill on these guys. And I'm sure they're telling the NHL they want to get their stuff done so they can kind of take some time off before they, you know, before the season starts.
Yeah, this is the time where lots of teams are going away.
So this is
going to
be before the weekend or after the weekend. And then I think either rejected, new contract signed almost right away. That's essentially the same as Hossa's.
Do you think
or accepted? Then it's accepted.
Do you think they have an alternate contract ready to go?
By the way, we haven't talked about the Caberlet thing yet.
About the August 15th.
And this is cutting into that.
Sure, because everybody's
waiting. The longer this takes to get out there, the shorter
it should be done by the weekend or Monday.
Burkhaz. And if the Caberlet thing for our listeners, Thomas Caberlet's no trade clause kicks back in on August 15th.
Right.
Why does it kick in August 15th?
Well, it's just the way they signed the contract.
And we'll deal with that next week, because next week really is going to be the show where, if he's dealt,
No, it wasn't the first game 98-99 Remus. He might have got 4 assists in that game, but that wasn't the way anyone else to refer.
We're still talking about Mark Savard, what Richard's talking
about
there.
Anyway, sorry,
you're right, because everybody's expecting him to go to Jersey.
Not if Kovalchuk signs.
Right, because they won't have the money to do it.
Right. And we talked about it earlier, possibilities. We went back on the show about where he could possibly go, and I believe I listed Tampa as a possibility. Well, they're basically off the table now with the Gagne and the Kubina additions.
And they signed Dominic Moore that nobody's talked about also.
We're going to talk about that
in rapid fire.
I had to amend my portion of the book because of that, because that adds a nice element of depth there and a face-off presence. Very good skater. I like Dominic Moore, what he brings to the table.
I still can't believe how Montreal gave up a second-round draft pick for 3 months of him.
But we said, Drew, we said at the time, we got him to the deal. You know how much money they made off that?
Well more than whatever a second round
was. That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. So.
Now, we're still debating the Mark Savard thing in its entirety.
That's a 98, and it's not right. Those 90s. Or sorry, that's a 98-99. That's not right. It was a 97.
Can we get the Elias Sports Bureau on the phone, please?
Yeah,
Remus, call up Stats Inc. See what we can get.
Check it out over the break, and we got rapid fire coming up. We're gonna talk about Dominic Morgan. We're gonna talk about
Taylor Hall. We're gonna talk about Peter Regan,
Tyler Seguin.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about both of them.
Both of them. One and two.
Talk about Chris Pronger's surgery. We got lots to talk about.
Minor surgery in quotes.
There's no such thing as a minor knee surgery when you're 35 years old.
When you're 35 years old and you play 32 minutes a game.
Let's leave it there. Remus is going to look up, see what he can find out from the good people at, I don't know where he's going to look.
Sports Bureau.
Isn't it
Eliash Sports Bureau?
It's only the Eliash Sports Bureau if you're a Devils fan like you are.
That's right.
Anyways, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
I love you. My name is Walter Mitchell.
Oh, my!
KICK FM. Let's go. Saturdays.
Saturdays.
1 p.m. Retro Evolution. Retro Evolution. 80s.
Ooh, but something to hold. That's the power of owner of the moon. Oh, it's me.
92.9 KICK FM.
The IllegalCurve.com radio show, your source for the greatest interviews, all the information from the movers and shakers in the hockey world, whether it's players like Patrick Sharp.
Joel's more of a coach that has years of experience.
General managers like Bobby Clark.
If you're going to manage in the NHL, you're going to get criticized. Criticism just rolls off your back.
Or journalists like Stan Fischler.
Can't take any team in this league and take the night off. And if you do, you're going to get clobbered.
The IllegalCurve.com radio show, 7 to 9 on Wednesdays on KICK FM.
Police agencies across the country are clamping down on the operation of motor vehicles while under the influence of alcohol. This is being done through both information and enforcement. Make no mistake, impaired driving is a crime. The costs in damage and injury are enormous, not to mention the fatalities and devastation. There is no cost for these. Winnipeg Crime Stoppers wants to assist law enforcement get impaired drivers off the road. If you encounter a vehicle you suspect is being operated by an impaired driver, contact your local police agency as this could be an emergency. 911 is the universal emergency phone number. Use it. An alternative is calling Winnipeg Crime Stoppers at 786-TIPS. That's 786-8477. Callers never have to reveal their identity and may be eligible for a cash reward.
Tired of the same old one-word homepage?
Aw, look, honey. The letter O's are little turtles today.
Help me. Then it's time you checked out Winnipeggers.ca, Winnipeg's very own social media website. Get connected with other Winnipeg people, post a video, or play any of the 4,000 games on the site. You can even check out the latest celebrity gossip.
Like, I totally can't believe she's wearing that.
Yes, Winnipeg, this is your ultimate homepage, Winnipeggers.ca.
Because Winnipeg, it's all about you.
Can I start talking now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Late on the line? Yeah? Yeah, there you go. Alright, so you can start talking now.
I can start starting now?
This is a slower version of the song. Okay. Is that a live version?
No. He's saying yes, it is.
A live version.
TV, is that good enough? I hope TV enjoyed that in the chat room.
I'd still rather listen to Triumph by the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, you just like saying Wu-Tang.
Is Triumph insult Comic Dog going to come back with Conan now? Or
you would hope that now that he's on cable, he should be able to get away with a lot more.
Yeah. Or did NBC buy those?
NBC might have bought those.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be a masturbating bear either.
Or no, maybe it was just during that time frame before TBS, I think it was. He couldn't use it in his comedy tour.
So is the masturbating bear going to come out?
I think so.
Okay. I hope so.
I actually saw Conan in New York. It was an awesome time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remus saw Fallon this year, right?
Yeah, I saw Fallon in April. It was awesome. Loved it. Recommend it.
Okay. Good. It's time for Rapid Fire.
Yeah, eh?
Zubrin? No.
He's going to be a gem. Phoenix.
Gary Bettman, this muffin I'm eating is not that good.
Get rid of it.
Next question.
Headshots.
I love that.
Rapid fire.
Potential new rules.
Get rid of the shootout.
5-on-5 for 5 minutes, ditch the shootout.
Oh, Dunkin' Donuts.
I like Bob McKenzie. Don't get me wrong.
He's great.
Corey Snyder.
PK Subban.
Give these fans something to hope for.
Right.
I don't have a problem with it.
That's not a playoff team if you have to rely on PA Parento.
Ali K in Phoenix says, I hate dry muffins.
Was that last week we were talking about muffins? I thought that was an old. Is that an old one, Remus?
That's really old.
That one. Well, what's
those muffins are pretty dry at this point.
Pretty dry. What's his face is on holidays, so they don't have.
Oh, right, online, right. So they're right. Okay.
I just sent him old ones.
Sent him. Okay, that was an older version of Rapid Fire. I believe that. I think I opted that show when I was complaining about the muffin, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
you've had a few muffins in your day, Drew. We've all had.
I have had a few muffins in my day. That's true. I had two bowls of cereal before the show. Good
really?
Cereal. Yeah. Cinnamon Life, I think that's called.
Cinnamon Life.
Never heard of it. Two scoops of raisins.
No. I don't need bran yet.
Oh, I need bran.
Really?
Sure, it's good for you.
Maybe on Sunday I'll need bran because I'll be 29 by then. But
yes, Drew's birthday's coming up this weekend to our listeners.
Yes.
Turn the old 29.
Happy birthday. 29.
Thank you, Denise. Appreciate the shout out.
I really like your birthday email today.
Yeah, you thought it was a little.
I was waiting for an email today. I've really had a slow day. I mean, I got that email.
Were you rapidly clicking refresh on your Hotmail? Is that what you're doing?
I really was. I mean, when you're waiting to hear something, you do a little refreshing. But I'm excited. I'm pumped up. It's Saturday, right? 9.
Saturday, 9 o'clock, that's right.
Okay, dinner. Can I say where so our fans can come get an autograph? Hermanos?
Hermanos on Valentine's.
Oh, it's Hermanos.
It's Hermanos.
Okay.
You have to be proper.
Is it Hermanos? Is that what it's called?
Saturday, yeah, 9
called
o'clock.
Hermanos.
Hermanos.
It's not called Hermanos. What are you, some sort of yokely redneck from Transcona or something?
You're the one who used y'all today when we were talking.
Be careful.
That was on a BBM conversation, and it was done privately, I'll have you know.
Were you driving?
I was not.
Call the cops on that one.
I was not driving. I was at a red light. I would never drive.
No, you're still in the car, Drew. That's illegal.
Yeah, I know, but I think there should be a gray area for that part of the
red light district.
No, not the red light district. I'm just saying I was at a red light. I think if you're at a red light and you're parked,
rapid fire.
Okay,
you can't be parked at a red light. It's illegal. You can't park at a red light.
If you're you just drive through them and don't notice them.
You're the one who, exactly. You're the one who runs red lights on a frequent basis when you don't even notice, which is just frightening. T-Beef has a question in the chat room. He wants to know who amongst us was the best hockey player.
It's like, who was the
Richie for sure. Richie for sure.
I said Richie for sure as well. He's a little injury prone now, though.
I'm injury prone.
Yeah. It's
I got can opener last
Richie's
night.
Got the size. He had the
But we had a crazy event yesterday. I got can open. I got some guy gave me the can opener. I don't know if it was accidental or not, but it happened. Anyways, after the game, the ref comes into the room.
You never had this happen before.
Because I asked him, I said, how did you not call the penalty? Anyways, comes into the room, says, another ref came to ask him a question as we were playing, and that was the reason why he missed the can opener, because he saw me go down, and then that was the reason why I was like yelling, like, why didn't you see the call? Why he didn't see another play behind us.
As you were complaining that your call was missed, right. One of our other guys got lit up and nailed into the boards.
Anyways, he comes in and apologizes for missing the first call and then subsequently missing the second one. It was very
first time that's ever happened.
Wow.
The ref went on an impressive rant about how the other ref should just go and get the key to the locker room as opposed to distracting
but
the game.
He manned up.
Are these refs a fan of Illegal Curve?
They should be. Everybody's a fan of Illegal Curve.
That's actually our team name, right?
Yeah, we're the Illegal.
Well, it's not mentioned our team name. It's inappropriate for the show, but
right.
We have Illegal Curve jerseys.
Yeah, so our jerseys are the Illegal Curve hockey team jerseys.
Rapid fire.
Taylor Hall won't attend Team Canada's training camp, thus making him ineligible for the 2011 World Junior Hockey Championships. He says he is focusing on the season ahead with the Oilers. Do you agree with his move?
It's an interesting move, only because Sagan's going, Gudbrandsson's going, all those guys are going. But I think this is one of those, Edmonton says, you're making the team.
Yeah.
We prefer you take some time off. You played in the Memorial Cup. You played a long season. You've had a lot of pressure to be number one pick.
Yep.
Take it off. It's not going to matter anyways because we're not going to send you. So I think it's a little bit of both sides there. I think it's not just a unilateral decision by Hull. I think Edmonton has a lot to do with it.
I support his move because his main focus is making the team. And I don't think if he makes the team, he would even contemplate playing for the juniors, just like Crosby didn't when he was 18.
So, I think he's making the team. I think he's ready.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Edmonton and he's not making the team, how are you selling? I mean, I know you're going to sell tickets regardless, but I mean,
you're selling it on Svensson and those guys and maybe Eberle. But yeah, Drew, I think just Hall's ready. I think he's ready.
Edmonton's going to be a lot different.
When was the last time that the number one pick didn't start the season?
Tavares did the year before. Well, Johnson took a while to get out of because he was drafted in 06 and didn't play till not the following season, but the season after, right? Because he went to Minnesota.
Right.
You're calling my draft knowledge on who the other draft number one picks were. Obviously, Ovechkin had the lockout, so he came.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Crosby played right away.
I mean, it's sort of assumed now, I think, that if you're a top
you're number
pick.
Number one, yeah.
I mean, you're getting ice time.
Yeah.
The Senators re-signed Peter Regan to a two-year contract.
Right, so yeah.
The Senators re-signed Peter Regan to
really
a two-year contract.
Really like
coming off a 13-goal, 29-point season, what is his ceiling points-wise?
For his career or for next season?
For his career. Where do you see his career going? It can open-ended take it where you want.
He can be a really good 60 to 65-point player. Really good up and down, really good defensive center. Good offensive skills, good passer.
From Denmark.
He's going to be moving from the third line regular duty on third line last year to second line this year.
Yeah.
And they'll have Spezza, Fisher, and Regan up the middle. Regan will be seeing some second line minutes, whether it be at the wing or at center. Responsible player, good hands, good skill, good with the puck. I really like his upside.
Yeah, and then on Ottawa's team last year, even though it was nice to see them make the playoffs, there weren't a lot of guys that you were really excited for, and Regan was one of those guys that he was a rookie and you were excited to watch him.
Absolutely.
So, he's one of the positives for Ottawa, and I think this year it's going to be. I don't think Ottawa is a threat to win the Stanley Cup next year. Unfortunately, with the group that they have, but it's nice to see that they're at least going in the right direction.
When everybody was expecting Ottawa to take a really significant downturn, it sort of never happened. Unexpectedly,
they're well coached and they've got enough players. Well, they've got enough skilled players that they can creep into the playoffs.
Like
in that Eastern Conference.
My coach of the year last year because I just didn't think that team had enough talent. They got outscored over the course of the season, yet they still finished in the top six in the Eastern Conference. So to me, it was a very impressive season, especially coaching wise, because they didn't have much goaltending. It was back and forth there until Elliott finally settled down. Spezza didn't have his best season. Alfredson didn't have his best season. They lost Heatley. Mihalik was injured. You know, guys like Fisher and Regan stepped up, but. It was
and Kovalev
season.
Was on again, off again,
right.
As far as what he was contributing,
right?
So
to me,
that's what you have to expect from Kovalev.
I thought that Kustin did a tremendous job last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to
was
see.
Was he a nominee for the Adams or no?
He wasn't. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, he was my pick coach of the year.
It was Sacco, Tippett, and.
And to me.
Vigneault?
No, Sacco, Tippett was. Was Babcock in the top three there?
Might have been. Might have been because of Detroit's injuries.
These guys, I'm not getting the award, so.
What about McClellan?
Okay,
oh, really? Trotz.
I mean, it seems Trotz could be in there every year.
It was Trotz.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Goggins and Remus to confirm that. Trotz. Yeah, to me, Kustin or Tippett there. But I thought Kustin.
Anyways, the San Jose Sharks re-signed Devin Setoguchi to a one-year, $1.8 million contract.
That's a good deal.
How important is he to San Jose's future?
He's important. I mean, you can't get anywhere unless your best players are your best players in the playoffs and you get good goaltending. But a guy like Setoguchi, who's a really good skater, really, really, really good skater, got pretty good hands,
mm-hmm.
he can add offense. And if he's at $1.8 million and you can add, you know, he can outperform that contract, I think he's a valuable commodity and a valuable player on that team.
Yeah, he's important too because they're a little thin on defense right now, and their forwards are the glue of that team. And we're going to talk about this more as kind of the season progresses. There's question marks in goal for them right now, and it's a huge signing and it's a really good deal. You know, talking about salary cap, that's a great deal to get Setoguchi, who's going into his third year now, right? Third full year. And last year was arguably his best year, whether you want to look at points or what he did in the playoffs.
In terms of importance in the forwards, is he still probably, you know, he's Thornton. You got Thornton, you got Healy, you got Marlowe, you got Pavelski. So the top level of importance, he's probably still number five on the list. That shows how much depth they have. And you could add in Klow if you think he's more valuable in terms of the physicality he brings. But that's the amount of depth they have. He is a player they count on, but they don't have to rely on.
Jamal Mayers is close to signing with the San Jose Sharks. What is the best attribute he will bring to the team?
Yeah, he's physical.
Experience.
Experience. But they brought in guys like Ronek, Ezzie, and guys on the fourth lines there who had experience before, and it doesn't make a difference. If your best players aren't your best players, I'm getting a little bit away from that question, but if your best players aren't your best players...
He led the league in fighting majors last year, didn't he?
Did
he was up there.
I'm not sure.
He's tough. He's a good, decent skater. He's
not a bad skater, but
he's got international experience, right?
Yeah,
he was called on in the World Championships.
Yeah, he's a physical player. He's good in the room, they say. But he will make no difference in terms of San Jose becoming that Stanley Cup team or finalist that they are capable of.
Okay. Chris Pronger, 35 years old, is recovering from minor knee surgery. He allegedly will be ready for the start of the season. How injury-prone do you think Pronger will be as he approaches the twilight of his career, and how concerned should Philadelphia be about this minor knee surgery?
I wouldn't be overly concerned, but I would still have a bit of concern in that you never like to see a guy over 35, especially who signed to a long-term deal after he's 35, have knee surgery. You know, they're playing it down, but obviously, I mean, he is... the best defenseman on that team and still one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League. So anytime a defenseman who obviously relies on his legs, you know, for everybody, hockey players rely on their legs more than anything else, really. And so if those start going, then you got trouble. Now, Pronger isn't the fastest skater, so he can mask it a bit, but you still can't lose more than that, you know, that 1/8 of a step per year that you're slowly going to lose as you get older into the late 30s.
I think the Flyers have their fingers crossed that nothing but the quickest recovery for Pronger, you know, ends up being the case here, because they want Chris Pronger healthy. And whether they downplay it or not, they're just, it's one of those things that you just hope that it's quicker rather than later. And if by, you know, mid-September it's not going as well as it can go, then, you know, there's a little bit of concern there. Yep. But, you know, what can you say? I mean, it's an injury, right? These guys played with injuries. I mean,
odd time to do it, though, Ezzy. I mean, maybe they're doing it right now because, like, he's into training camp. They don't want him to be playing any exhibition games anyways, right? That could be.
He's not going
to
play any. I mean,
you know what, Drew? Like, this injury obviously was something that they probably knew about beforehand. So are they doing it now so he has a quote-unquote excuse to kind of miss that grueling time? Because as I've talked to people before who know Chris Pronger quite well and who've seen him play in the summer or play at training camp after a summer of relaxing in Northern Ontario, and apparently the guy can go in, he can be 15 pounds overweight, and he can go on the ice, he can play 25 minutes and look like he's been playing for the past
bit of a physical freak.
Yes, so I don't think they're too concerned about in that respect.
Okay. Right. Before we go into the next question, as you said, Jamal Mayers led the league in fights last year. Sorry, it was my favorite named player, Zenon Konopka. He had 33 fights.
How many did Mayers have? 25 or something?
No, Mayers only had 15 fights. He was 18th most.
I overstated it a little bit. But
he was, you know,
at one point I think he was leading. That's going to be a stat that'll be tough to find maybe early in the season, but on St. Louis he used to fight a lot.
Yeah, he'll be a nice addition, but he won't, as I said, won't be the factor in terms of them making it anywhere.
Well, I mean, That's a signing where I still think Detroit never has an enforcer. Detroit's one team, but almost every team likes to have an enforcer. Even though I don't like the Devils really
Chicago, San Jose, Detroit. Who has an enforcer now?
Well, I know, but that's why they want him there,
that
right?
Plays regularly.
That's what that is.
You know,
the thing about Mayers though is
that's a good point. Because the thing about Mayers is he's an enforcer, but he can play. He can play the fourth line right wing spot. He can skate. He can be physical. He's not a liability.
Nope.
And so I think that's a good point. He's a player that can fight, but it's not a liability. And I think that's important.
I would argue that the guy the Devils have right now is a liability. LeTourneau-Lavoine is useless.
Yeah.
And he's actually not that great of a fighter either.
I can't believe Ezzy's criticizing a Devils move.
Last year they were benching Jay Pandolfo. You know how much I love Jay Pandolfo. He's lost a step. I talked to you about this, Rich. They were benching Jay Pandolfo and playing Luke Letourneau-Leblanc. I don't even think he had a point last year.
Pandolfo can't add anything on offense.
No, but I would rather see him. I would rather see Jay Pandolfo get his 8 minutes of fourth line duty than Luke Letourneau-Leblanc. Look for someone to fight him, and maybe someone will fight him.
I think Pandolfo's more valuable because he can kill penalties and he can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got something called a brain, and I don't think Luke Letourneau-Leblanc. Pierre
Harsh
Luke
words,
Letourneau.
Whoa.
I mean, he's terrible. I can't believe that a smart coach like Lemaire. I mean, they didn't do much in the playoffs, but I can't believe a smart coach like Lemaire was who doesn't appreciate someone who can't even offer you something more than mediocre fighting ability. He was playing him. I mean, the Devils were a good team last year, and Luke Letourneau-Leblanc, Pierre Luke Letourneau-Leblanc wasn't doing much, so. I don't know if he'll be back next year, but we'll see.
Stat boy?
I just want to say, I'm pretty sure that's probably like the fifth show in a row Ezzy's brought up here, Luke Letourneau.
Yeah, it definitely is not. It definitely is not.
Every show you bring him up.
No, I don't.
Every show.
Yeah, if that's Ezzy's version of streaking, then we're okay.
It's Ezzy's version of Jerry Savile bring up Superman.
Yeah, it is. It's true. Superman wore a cape.
Pierre Luke Letourneau LeBlanc's like my Bob Sacamano.
Nicely done. The Blackhawks signed forwards Evan Brophy, Nathan Davis, and Hugh Jessamine, defenseman Jason Cullimore, and goaltender Hannu Toivonen, all to one-year contracts. Of the five, who, if any, will have the biggest impact for the Blackhawks?
Hugh Jessamine won't be, but Hugh Jessamine, a.k.a. Hugh Specimen, a.k.a. the player the Rangers took directly before
First rounder, Zach
Parise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not bitter.
I think it was at Dartmouth. I forget where he was, but he was at an Ivy League school, and he was... He never turned into anything. Out of all those players, the last two you said again?
The last two were Jason Cullimore and Hannu Toivonen.
Well, Toivonen is a guy who hasn't really been able to even cut it as like a threshold netminder. Kalamor maybe can fill in that sixth spot as a solid defensive defenseman. Jessman, I don't really see anything happening there. The first two names?
First two names were Evan Brophy and Nathan Davis.
I haven't seen either of them play. So, I mean, Kalamor, from what I know of those...
One of the options was none of them.
Well, Kalamor, from what I know, can maybe be that sixth defenseman solid guy. They can hope can fill a somewhat of a Sopo role, but I don't, he's not as good.
How old is Evan Brophy? He's pretty young, right?
Most of these guys, these guys played last year with Milwaukee in the AHL. I mean, the Brophy and Davis had reasonable points, you know, points per game sort of averages. I think it was Davis was injured for most of last year, if I'm not mistaken. Only played 30 some odd games for Milwaukee.
I guess with all the players they've lost, they needed to sign those five guys, right?
Well, they got like Brian Bickles and those guys will be playing those roles, but if there's injuries, those guys might need to play.
Richard, do you know where Jessamyn played college hockey? Well, there's some debate if it's Michigan or Yale. Right?
Oh, it was Yale then, if it wasn't Michigan.
It wasn't Michigan, it was Yale? Okay.
Yeah, at least when he was drafted then. Okay. He was at Ivy League school.
Okay. Boston Bruins signed second overall draft choice Tyler Seguin. On what line do you expect him to play for the Bruins next season, or is there a chance he'll be returned to juniors?
I don't see him being returned to junior, but there is a chance because he's that... Because he might be thinking it's another year and maybe another year, maybe 1 year, getting the World Junior experience, which he didn't get this year. But I think that really depends on what we were talking about before. They
the
have Savard
deal.
Bergeron, and Krejci up the middle. If they're going to bring in Seguin and play him, you want to play him at center because he's a center. Mm-hmm. Do you play him in the fourth line? I don't think you do.
Third line.
So, well, then if that's the case, then maybe you're trading Savard. And if you can trade Savard, then I think he plays third line minutes, 12 minutes a game, and they ease him in. And if he gets better, which I think he probably will, they'll increase his ice time. But right now, the way the roster is, I mean, it's a possibility that he will not play unless they make a move.
Ezzy, anything to add to that?
If so, you know, well, Seguin, I think, is you know, it's good that he signed this deal yesterday or whatever, 2 days ago. And I think Boston's going to do everything that they can to again, put him in a good position. But if they're going to move Savard to Calgary, what is it going to be, straight up for Regier or what?
Well, why don't we get into the rumor game that I brought up before, but I think that him being traded somewhere, if it's Ottawa or somewhere, is a very good possibility. Because look at the numbers. I mean, the numbers basically say that it's going to be very difficult for them to, you know, have a guy like Seguin sit in the minor.
This is a good problem to have, though, right?
He led the league in scoring last year. What does he need to prove now?
Yeah.
Somebody's saying Dartmouth now. For,
that's what I said originally, isn't it?
Richie said Dartmouth.
Yeah. Did you say Dartmouth originally?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Dartmouth.
Is this a Wikipedia confirmation or something more legit?
Wikipedia. But
with a citation?
Sure, I'm pretty sure that's legit.
Okay. Fair enough. There you go. We're going to bring the final answer is Dartmouth for... who are we talking about? Hugh Jessamyn? I can't remember.
Huge specimen.
Huge specimen. Yeah. Okay. Either way. Anyways, Dartmouth. Dominic Moore signed a two-year, $2.2 million agreement with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Great contract.
After all the moves made by Tampa this offseason, are they a playoff team?
Yeah.
Definitely.
100%.
Definitely.
Okay.
They were close to a playoff team last year.
The East isn't very good, first of all, guys. But, yeah they're a playoff team. Yeah.
Even with their lack of defense?
Better than Florida, better than Carolina, and better than Atlanta. So there's three teams right there. And they'd be better than seven teams, Drew.
Right.
So there's three teams. The Leafs,
better
four.
Than, yeah. Better than the Islanders.
Islanders, five. And it's got to be better than two more of those other teams. And who knows? The Rangers. I think they're better than the Rangers.
Yeah. Well, I'm not loving anything that the Rangers
are. Yeah, we'll come out with our projections, you know, our predictions later on. But there's just six teams off the top of our head that they're better than, Drew.
Okay. And
very well better. Could be better than Ottawa.
And Hugh Jessamyn was the ECAC All-Rookie Team in 2003, the Rookie of the Year in 2003, and a second-team All-Star in 2004.
So his peak of his career was 2004?
Yeah. And when did the Rangers draft him?
2004.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. It's all downhill from there. Anyways, that was the end of Rapid Fire. It wasn't that rapid, but it was a good talk about Hugh Jessamyn. Anyways, Denise, you ready? It's time for Cheers and Jeers. Cheers and Jeers. Cheers and Jeers.
Here's going to be my cheer, Chris Bronner.
I'm going to give a cheer to Bob Gainey.
Cheering Ed Snyder of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Very nice.
What a terrific story. Apparently that was an episode where you missed the show, Ezzy.
Yeah, Ezzy cut out of there.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Remus, your thoughts?
I don't know. It was just an old one. I blame Rick. You know, he didn't have it. That's not what to say.
Rick, we're going to have archives up this week, though,
I believe so. I think he's back from holiday, so we should be up for that. Anyways, Richie, start. Cheers and cheers.
Well, Drew, I'm going to go on, continue on the topic that you had as the last question in Rapid Fire and give a cheer to Steve Yzerman for another deaf move here. I really like the Dominic Moore signing. The issue I had with Tampa before that was after their top six, they really lacked any kind of depth
and penalty killing presence and face-off presence. Well, they add face-off presence and more. They add speed and more. They add penalty killing presence and more, all for a fairly reasonable price. And again, he's not making, you know, he's made some splashy moves, but he's also making the moves that are addressing needs. You don't continually bring in players who just, you know, they add to their goal total if you don't need goals. He sees his top six. He says, okay, we have enough points and goals up there. I need somebody who can fill another role, and we'll be happy to do it. And he picked on Dominic Moore, and I think that was a very, 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 very strong strategic move by Stevie Yzerman, who's proving to be more than capable in his first year as general manager in Tampa Bay Lightning.
Michael Remus, cheer, cheer.
All right, I've cheered this guy before, and I think he deserves another cheer. I'm cheering... Oops, I just clicked the wrong button, sorry. I'm cheering George Laroque again.
Oh, boy.
I think, you know, good for him. He got named deputy leader of the Green Party. He's, he's retired now. He's involved in a bunch of charities, you know, especially with Haiti. You know what, he's 33, he's retired, his career's over. You know, he's found something, he's found a niche, found something to do. You know, some players, you know, hit the bottle after they retire. They don't know what to do. Good for him. I'm cheering him. Good for him. Good for George Roy.
Nicely done.
That's actually, he's actually finding out what it's like to force retirement, like the judges when they're 75.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. He can't play anymore.
No, so he got booted off the Canadiens, so, you know, might as well go on his merry way as he cheered, Jer.
Okay, I did a lot of reading today. It was a slow day.
While
like
you were
I
waiting
said.
For emails,
right? I read a lot of articles today, and one of them was touching on the Coyotes situation, of course, and whether anything was going on there. And you know, we were, you know, checking to see if there was any, you know, truth to the rumor that, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf was back into it. But
I can confirm, I spoke to Rebecca Sanders of the Arizona Republic earlier today. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I spoke to Rebecca when I heard that Reinsdorf was back in. She was the one who conducted the interview with the Coyotes' new president. She said that at no time did he specifically say that Reinsdorf was back in.
Okay.
So that's coming from the reporter.
Okay, and that article... the number 457 was mentioned, and I'm going to cheer that number. That 457 days ago was when Jerry Moyes declared bankruptcy, and basically this whole story began, and you know the hopes of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Winnipeg Jets fans was revived. So let's just, you know, hope that nobody surfaces and we get a team back. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. But... that's what I'm cheering this week.
Good cheer. What'd they say, 1,800 season ticket holders?
Yep.
Ali K, I believe, is one of them. So, Ali K, you're an exclusive
yeah,
company there.
Yeah,
as one of 1,800, exactly. As one of 1,800 new or season ticket holders. And she confirms that she is. God help her, but whatever.
God bless her.
Yeah. I'm going to end off cheers and jeers. I'll make it a clean sweep. I'm going to cheer Jacques Demers.
Yes.
You know, a very scary situation just coming to light. I remember a couple months ago when it was reported that he was in hospital, and it seemed like it was sort of a minor ailment.
Sure, it's a hernia surgery.
Yeah, it was a hernia surgery that turned very ugly. At some point during the surgery, it sounds like his intestine got pricked.
Well, there was a mistake by the surgeon, I think.
Something like that, where his intestine got cut, and it sounds like he was, for 2 days, I guess there was, toxins or poisons, into his bloodstream.
Yeah.
They noticed it just in the nick of time, but apparently it was, as his family was told, he was between life and death.
Terrible.
So it was a very scary situation. It seems as though he's making a solid recovery, or well on his way to making a solid recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to cheer him, give him our best wishes, and, you know, this is a guy who... very publicly and without having to do it, admitted that he's got literacy problems, and he wants to, and he's now championing literacy. So kudos to him for that. I mean, he's a senator in Canada, and I don't agree with the political party in which he's a senator.
He's a conservative?
He's a conservative senator. I don't know if that actually means he's conservative or not, but whatever. But, at any rate, if a guy wants to champion literacy, I'll give him a kudos and, you know, all the best on his getting a full recovery.
Amen.
There you go. That's it for this Wednesday night. We'd like to thank the knees behind the glass doing her fabulous job as usual. The All Request Hour will be back in September.
Yep.
There you go. So the kick's
exactly.
Only 3 more weeks.
You
off.
Always mention it every week. It's all good.
Yeah, 3 weeks off now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
I want to give a big thank you, Drew. You're doing the rounds. I want to give a big thank you to obviously our listeners on 92.9 KFM, but also the people in the chat room listening online. And people who are chatting are very knowledgeable hockey fans. So if you want to get in on this conversation, and I say this honestly, people know what they're talking about. It's very, very a smart hockey conversation there, and we appreciate, obviously, their attendance every week, and it's been growing, which is great, and we're looking for it to grow even further.
You know, what I love is that, I mean, I agree with you, I second that comment about the chat room. What I think is fabulous is the diversity of where our audience is coming from in the chat room.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
The frequent chat, I mean, Ali K's in Phoenix, I think T-Beebs in St. Louis, Colgan in Pittsburgh.
Yep. Yeah,
Pittsburgh. We had Jungle.
We have people from...
And more music requests. I enjoy input. It's all good.
You go. We had was it Jungle Cast? Was that his name earlier from the show?
It was something funny.
Yeah, something like that. It was from Bowling Green, Kentucky. So, I mean, you got, we got people everywhere here that are tuning in. It does speak to, hockey can make it. SC Trojan is, of course, in there also.
You're going to give everybody a shout-out right now, Adrian?
That's it.
Eberle been this week?
Yeah, where is Eberle? He's a Winnipegger.
Okay. I'm sure he'll be back.
Add us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve, and before you do your roundup, Drew, and Facebook, IllegalCurve.com. Every week there, we're going to add it, where we let you know who the interviews are going to be or what the topics are going to be, and we pass along information during the week. We don't overload you too much, so if you want to add us on either one of those social media outlets.
And boys, we didn't mention who our guest is next week either. We have a guest already lined up for next week.
Next Thursday is the Believe in the Goal Foundation charity game in Winnipeg
it raises money for cancer research.
For kids with cancer, and it's in memory of Todd Davison, and we're going to have his brother Wade Davison on next week to talk about the game, which will be the following day.
The game is next Thursday. We do encourage everybody in the Winnipeg area to buy your tickets and attend that game.
We're going to talk all about it next week. Wade's going to be on, and maybe one of the NHL players who's going to play in that game is also going to be on. So more about it next week. We're going to interview Wade. We're going to give you in-depth details about how to get tickets, and if you're not going to buy tickets or you're not in the Winnipeg region, how you can give money
to charity. You can still make donations in honor of Todd Davison. It's a good point about Twitter. And if you have any questions you want any topics for us that you want us to address ahead of time on the show, send them over to us on our Twitter. We'll do our best to get them into the show here. We like to be interactive. On this Wednesday night from downtown Kick FM studios in beautiful Winnipeg, Manitoba, for Richard Pollock, Michael Remus, Ezra Ginsberg, and our legions of fans, both online and on the radio, we wish you good night and good luck.